another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo and wrestling, right?
Yes.
All right. Survivor Series, then. Five minutes or less.
It's We Talk Wrestling, and the first thing I just want to point out is we're doing We Talk Wrestling, right?
Yeah, get on with it.
This is our regular recording time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so my question.
Uh-huh.
It's simple. Where are the fucking balloons?
You know what? They'll be here later.
Oh.
Now, back to it. Survivor Series, 5 minutes or less. Go!
Sucked.
Okay. And now, Raw, 5 minutes or less. Go! Okay, wait, no. What?
Survivor Series was a situation that was built around, I guess, the group that tentatively is going to be called The Shield.
Yes.
It's a matter of Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and Dean Ambrose making this group up, dressed up like security, and attack the Ryback.
The who?
The Ryback Acne.
Oh, him.
Yes. I have seen, we've talked about, I think maybe even all three of these guys. I don't know about Roman Reigns, if we've talked about Roman Reigns.
Yeah, we've talked about Roman Reigns, though.
We've talked about Seth Rollins, we've talked about Dean Ambrose on the show. Roman Reigns is a fellow that I've seen a few times on NXT. He's a relative newcomer to NXT. They did a video hyping his NXT debut.
Yeah, he hasn't been wrestling very long.
About 6 weeks ago.
But he is the cousin to Yokozuna, so that's good enough.
He is, yes. He's the son of Sika.
Yes, that's right. He's the brother of Rosie.
Yes. The superhero in training.
That's right.
Yes.
That guy's the shit.
Yeah. But he's related to Manu.
That's right. I thought it was Manu.
Superfly. Mm. And The Rock.
And The Rock.
And Solo Snuka.
Yeah, that's right. That's
Deuce.
Right.
Douche.
Yeah. And the Usos.
And the Usos. There you go. But, yes. But, and Rikishi.
The Big Quiche.
The Big Quiche. And Haku.
And Haku. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Oh, Big Chief Peter Maivia.
Big Chief Peter Maivia, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not to be confused with Big Chief Beef Jerky.
Yeah, no. Not to be.
Fight me.
Yeah. Not by many people.
Also, Tama.
Ah, yeah, it's true. Tama.
Tama. No.
Tama.
Samu.
Samu. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And I'm sure that guy from the guy, the Barbarian.
Yes, the Oni, the Barbarian.
The Barbarian.
Yes,
there.
That's right.
I'm sure he's related to him.
And the Warlord.
No. Oh. But we were doing good till then. Johnny Gonzalez, I think. I believe he's related to Johnny Gonzalez.
I don't believe so, no.
And the Great Khali.
The Argentinian, yes, and the Great Khali, yes, and Hornswoggle.
Well, yes, obviously.
The thing with Roman Reigns is
Well, no, Hornswoggle's related to Vince McMahon, remember?
And Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, that's right.
But I saw Roman Reigns, saw the video package. As soon as he came out on television for his first match, I said, this guy's going to be down here very long.
No?
He has a look. And he's got a look that they like, and obviously he wasn't down there very long, and there he is. It's been described that he's basically the Dave Bautista a la evolution of the group, in that he's the guy that obviously can't work, but is just going to be the muscle and you know, kind of get along.
Perfect role for him. Now they need to hook him up with an experienced guy that can teach him to do stuff, a la Ric Flair.
Yeah, no. They're going to put him with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Possibly CM Punk.
Yeah, well, at least with CM Punk will be good.
Possibly Paul Heyman.
Seth Rollins, though, this is a good role for him, too.
To be CM Punk?
Yeah. But no, this is a good role for him. Put him. He can't really talk, so put him with a group that hides that, let him wrestle and carry the matches, then have the big guy come in and do the power moves, because he's one of the best in-ring workers WWE has. So that's a good group for this is good use of those two. This is shitty use of Dean Ambrose.
Well, you talked about how Seth Rollins can go in and do work because he can't talk. So what you've got is Dean Ambrose as the mouthpiece.
Yeah, but Dean Ambrose can be more than the mouthpiece. Dean Ambrose can work. Dean Ambrose of these guys is the guy who's, in fact, everybody, like you always say, oh, this guy's the next whatever, and this guy's the next this, and this. Dean Ambrose is the next CM Punk.
Right.
And so this being in this group as the mouthpiece, not getting a chance to be highlighted, and the best potential performer they've had in years to come out of developmental,
mm-hmm.
to put this guy in a group instead of give him his own spotlight and make a big deal out of him from the beginning,
right.
I think is a mistake. And also, when he's going to be losing and getting pinned by the Ryback in three-on-one matches, is going to hurt him going forward.
Well, I just wonder in terms of, like you said, if they put a spotlight on the group, you know, they should put it on the individual. If I mean, the group is coming in.
And the group is going to lose to Ryback.
But they are coming in a high-profile spot.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Well, does it?
He later came in a high-profile slot. Where the fuck is he?
He did. He did. And, I mean, let's look at Dolph Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's Dolph Ziggler?
And he came in a high-profile slot as one of the
Spirit Squad. And I mean, but he's stuck around, and he's one of their, you know.
He was reinvented.
Yes.
Okay? This guy's not going to be reinvented. He is
Dean
Ambrose.
You don't know that.
And when I say he's reinvented, he was taken off TV, he was put back in developmental, he was brought up again a long time later. It was a totally different gimmick and different look.
Yeah.
You're not going to see that.
Well, you don't know, though. You won't see that.
It's highly unlikely to not see
that. If you
don't
see it.
This is not a good... This is fine for Seth Rollins and for Reigns. This mm-hmm. is fine. This is not good for Dean Ambrose. This is not utilizing your talent and potential to the best ability.
I tend to agree with you. I am actually willing to reserve judgment because they have done nothing but three attacks so far.
Yeah.
And so, let's see. I mean, I will grant you in 2 weeks from now, I'll probably...
And by the way, he's not even going to be the mouthpiece of Heyman's there.
Well, that is true. And what I'm waiting for...
And Punk's there. He's hardly going to fucking talk.
With the Shield is... Well...
Which is a shitty name, by the way.
I think so, too.
But I was also thinking, what are they going to call him? The Core? Like...
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, and I was talking about this earlier, about how big of a fan Michael Chiklis is of the WWE having the Shield as the new group, and CM Punk coming out saying it's clobbering time.
That's true.
So this whole group could be, maybe the whole group could be called, you know, the Chiklis.
That would be a great idea.
Because there is no woman in it.
Maybe he can come down. You know, he looks a little bit, and the guy I believe is currently unemployed. Since that modern, or what was it, the superhero one that they did, that didn't last, so...
No, yeah. That didn't, but he's on that show Vegas now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. So.
Well, he looks a little like Paul Heyman, is what I was going to say.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Remember the Commish?
That was an awesome show.
It sucked.
That was an awesome show. He solved crimes, and then he was still home.
Yeah, he was like a 23-year-old commissioner who solved crimes.
And then he was still at home to tuck his kid into bed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
All right, what else we got here? Anything else you want to say? I'll say this. The two most important matches, two of your three most important matches at the pay-per-view, one of your major pay-per-views, ends in disqualification. I was trying to think back. I can't think of any kind of Survivor Series ever truly has been the culmination of a feud.
No.
It's usually the kickoff of a feud. So I guess I wasn't so bad with that. Though, of course, now it's not built into something in Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. It's built into something... at TLC.
A chairs match.
Yeah, that said, the main event didn't work for me even before the Shield shows up because you have, and it wasn't working for the crowd much either, because what you had was a guy who the crowd doesn't give a shit about in mm-hmm. Ryback, a guy that the WWE has ruined in CM Punk, and a guy that they are sick of in John Cena.
Yes.
So that's your main event. That's not going to carry the pay-per-view.
Well, the crowd hated Cena. Should mention Survivor Series at Conseco Fieldhouse, I believe, in Indianapolis is what it's called. 8,500 people in the crowd for the Survivor Series.
That's brutally bad.
Largely papered.
That's horrible.
So they're figuring about 5,000 paid for this once proud event.
Yeah.
And but, I mean, you look at the card, and, you know, the I would consider... strong contender for the match of the night wasn't even advertised.
Yeah, I know.
You know? Once you got Brodus and from trying to kill Tenzai,
yeah.
And dropping him on his face.
Tyson Kidd looked awesome in that match.
Oh, Kidd, Sin Cara, everybody yeah. played their yeah. role, you know? And, no, it was good. So, I mean, that was probably the match. I mean, the Team Miz, Team Foley match had moments.
It was all right.
It was one of the finishing sequence, but I would even put that, the kid, that primetime players that unannounced match ahead of it.
Yeah,
I thought
sure.
that R-Truth and Antonio Cesaro was like a Sunday Night Heat match. You know, just had nothing for me at all. I don't know what that fuck it was even doing on pay-per-view. And it was the length of a match that shouldn't have even been on pay-per-view.
Yeah. And the crowd couldn't care less.
The women's thing, you know, it's done.
So then again, we talk about Ryback, somebody they don't care about. Ryback has been there for a while, been getting a hell of a push, and they still don't care about him. Cesaro hasn't been getting a great push, and they don't care about him. Sheamus is being on TV for years now,
mm-hmm.
been getting a hell of a push, and the people don't seem to give a fuck about him. So maybe they just can't get anybody over anymore. Maybe that's all it is. Maybe it's just impossible with WWE now. I don't know what you can do to get people over. I really don't know. Nothing seems to be working.
No, it's...
You can let the guy have a YouTube show that gets popular, but then don't use it.
Well, we have a list of things that they used to do.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
They don't. So we'll get to that there. But
all right. Raw, which I did not watch because I was so disappointed after watching Survivor Raw.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was. It was a Raw event. Dressed up as Survivor Series.
Yeah.
So I'm very familiar with what happened on the show. Please give me your opinions on Raw the next night.
Titus O'Neil is awesome.
Yeah, so they'll fuck that up.
Yes. So, Wash Rags 316.
Explain that to everybody. Explain why he's awesome.
Why they'll fuck it up?
Both.
No, it was basically, I went Raw, and I mean, I'm not even going to recap segment. But for the first 2 hours and 15 minutes, it was a shitty show. And then, basically what they did was with AJ went to confront Dolph in the back. Dolph dressed her down, basically called her, basically did everything. But everything.
I'm hoping when I hit mute here, I didn't lose YouTube because
YouTube.
No,
you're still registering.
Yeah, but I didn't go on mute. Oh.
Now I'm muted.
No, you're unmuted now.
Now
you're muted.
Now I'm not.
You're unmuted.
And this is me muted.
And this is you muted.
And not muted.
Not muted.
What were you saying?
Hmm?
Professionals.
Yes. This is, we're technological masterminds here.
Obviously. I had to scratch my ear and take my headset off.
Basically, Dolph Ziggler called AJ everything but a cunt.
Yeah.
Dressed her down.
Which is what you'll call her, right?
Yes. Cena came out, and they had a brawl in the back, in the locker room there. Very intense. Very good segment, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had the Team Hell No against the Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio with the primetime players on commentary. And this is where Titus O'Neil... At one point, Jerry Lawler said that Titus O'Neil combs his hair with a wash rag. And that was enough for Titus O'Neil to start asking about what year it was, and wash rag. Who says wash rag? Is it 1958? Like, what are you... You're talking old school wash rag. He's like, do you say that you're going to get some money, or do you talk about you go to the pay window? No, it was just tremendous. And then, of course...
But he showed real personality.
He did. And apparently Vince was a fan, so... We'll
so now
see.
They'll script it.
Yeah, so now they'll script it.
So now this is where in the old days they would take something. We said this many times. We don't know who the next big star is because they'll never let him emerge. They'll never let him show personality.
Right.
And we talked about that. And we've also talked, though, about how their favorite thing is to let people go out there and script it and do commentary. I mean, R-Truth did it as well on this show. They love to do that.
Yeah.
And I guess that's their way of auditioning people. This is the first time anybody's ever stepped up.
Yeah, I would probably say so, yeah.
So now somebody stepped up. Maybe this is their next big star. So how do they fuck it up?
Yeah, well that's just it. Then they just won't use them. I mean, it's as big as that. It's jobs. The first thing he did was run into the ring and took a choke slam from Kane.
Yeah,
right?
But that was well before.
Of course it is. But that's more of the same is going to do the same. You know what I mean? So you've got to strap a rocket, and it's not, you know, it's just not going to happen. So the last thing to look at, and it's in the same, it's relatively the same era when you talk about weekly Monday Night Raw television, is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah.
And Stone Cold Steve, as we talk about, Austin 316 says, I just whooped your ass, July of 96.
Yeah.
Right? Stone Cold, you know, with the title, is March of 98.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, not only that, but I talked about this before. 1996, he says Austin 316 just whooped your ass. The next night, there's a few signs. The next night, he's getting a few whatever. They don't strap a rocket to him. They immediately start scripting him. They decide whether or not they think he can or can't be a star. He doesn't get over to the same level because he doesn't get to be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right.
It has to be their idea of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like you say, you see a guy who
Chili McFreeze.
You get Chili McFreeze. You get a guy who is, you get a guy like Zack Ryder who's getting over. They say, fuck you. We didn't create you. We're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Titus O'Neil could fall under that category, too. In fact, he's more likely to.
Well, Titus O'Neil is big. And that's what he has going for him.
He does have that.
And so,
he's a big dude.
Yeah. So that's what he's
Your mom's been complaining about that with me, too.
Wonder if Titus O'Neil is a... we'll switch back. So that was great. And then the final segment... the celebration of 1 year with CM Punk.
I just told her to lube up.
Yeah. See? And did she? But, Heyman talked more...
That makes sense. I can throw you completely off like that.
I'm just curious now, but Heyman talked about...
I'll film it for you next week.
There you go.
I mean, kind of like when you were giving birth and your mom filmed that. She showed me.
Yes. It was a beautiful, beautiful baby. But Paul Heyman talked more about Bruno Sammartino in 5 minutes than have been spoken about him in probably the last 15 years.
Yeah, I know. Most of the audience was like, who?
I know Bruno Sammartino, CM Punk.
Yeah.
And he could never have beaten you. But, I mean, no. Yeah, exactly. That's the other thing, too, is that, like, you know, nobody watching really right now even cares about Bruno Sammartino or knows. Yeah.
He's almost being as erased from history as Chris Benoit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, not as much as Michael Hayes. Oh, you said erased. I'm sorry.
Oh, Michael Hayes. Oh.
But, no, speaking of Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
CM Punk's new t-shirt available at WWEShop.com. I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
Excellent. Are you going to show it to me?
You haven't seen this yet,
have you?
Seen
this.
You haven't watched the...
Because I remember saying to you, you said to me this would have been a good... You said it back to you, like, this would be a great night. 1 year's champion, this would be a great night for him to show up with a new belt. Because he had always talked about that. And I said, well, the problem is, if he shows up with a new belt, that will make him a babyface. And you said... Well, his new t-shirt already does that.
His new t-shirt already does that, yes. Yeah. So let me just go to WWEShop.com.
Let's see how good this thing is.
And show you this new... Oh, wow.
Doorbusters up to 90% off, and they have Ryback. There's CM Punk with a GTS shirt. Okay, let's see that. It's going down. Is that Hell in a Cell? This is a bunch of shirts I don't think they're selling anymore. Yeah. Are you sure you saw this here?
I did. I saw a link.
Well, why don't you just go to Google Images and go... CM Punk, I'm Paul Heyman Punk guy.
Yeah.
Because this is fascinating radio.
It is. So,
but I mean, really, this is about me seeing the shirt, and I'm sure all our loyal listeners, I'm Paul Heyman guy shirt. I'm sure all loyal listeners are more than happy to. Oh, it's very simple.
Yes.
The voice
just
of the
like
voiceless.
You.
The voice of the voice of the voiceless.
The voice of the voice. So I guess it's probably a Paul Heyman shirt, not a CM Punk
shirt. I'm a Paul Heyman guy, the voice of the voice of the voiceless. That's pretty awesome. I like that. It's simple. It's like black and white, right? It's NWO. It's Austin 316.
It's well, good. That's the thing. It's exactly. It's just like that. So, I don't know. It
looks like he has other shirts, like him praying or something.
It says, I'm a Paul Heyman guy, aren't you?
And what's your excuse?
I'm a Paul Heyman guy, what's your excuse? And then,
Yeah.
I'm a free bird.
Yeah. All right.
But,
all right, anything else you want to say about Raw?
Well, no, that is a great shirt. And if you're going to have the Shield be part of this group, the Shield wears all these black sort of security shirts. So if the Paul Heyman shirt is also black, you could rip off the security guard stuff eventually to reveal I'm a Paul Heyman guy and that they're all in cahoots, right? So that would be
my
whole kind of thing.
That makes sense. Though Ambrose, I don't think, was wearing the black. I thought he was still wearing his regular shit.
No, they were all, well, at least on Raw. I don't remember there. But yeah, Michael Cole's going to interview them on Raw. And so we'll see.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. And again, this is where Dean Ambrose will get to talk a lot, right?
Let's hope.
They are saying already Roman Reigns, they're grooming him, or they'd like to see him. They feel that he could be the next Triple H.
Yeah.
So I don't want to hear him talk now.
No.
So.
No. So eventually he'll refuse to put anybody over? Is that what you're saying?
That is true, yes. Yeah. Yes. But the thing about talking about Bruno Sammartino on this Raw is next year, 2013, going to be promoted within WWE as the 50th anniversary of WWE.
Hmm. So it was when Undertaker was about 60 years old.
That's right. That's right. The streak was at 3-0 then. Hmm. But no, it would be when Buddy Rogers was named the first WWF champion. It was 1963. So,
So what we're saying is that I know a lot of people have been complaining. The people working at Titan Towers.
Yes.
About the smell. I mean, what the fuck is that? It's just every day it seems to be getting worse and worse. That is a mountain of bullshit behind them that they've been compiling that they plan to put on this Blu-ray. Because we just watched a Blu-ray full of shit.
Yes,
and if that was, and we're going to get into it a little more later, it came to us at the same time as the NWO preview that WWE sent us this one as well.
Never got a chance to, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we didn't get a chance till now to talk about it, but the mountain of bullshit that's going to be on that will be unbelievable.
Heaping mountain of bullshit.
It will rival the mountain behind Hulk Hogan's house.
Yes, it will.
That's saying something.
It will actually rival the bullshit used to have the second invasion of Iraq.
That's impressive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shock and awe.
Shock and awe. But Shockmaster and awe.
Shockmaster and
Shockmaster and arse. Arse. He fell on his fucking arse.
He fell on his arse. Fell on his fucking arse. You know who fell on his arse at the Survivor Series? Randy Orton.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So, you wanted to have a little bit of a chitty chat about.
Well, he did lose.
Randy
is that what
Orton.
You mean? Yeah, he got pinned by Ziggler clean.
He did get pinned by
and
Ziggler
then next
clean.
Night he has a pretty decent match that maybe is a blow-off, maybe not. Who knows?
No. They're talking last man standing at TLC.
Oh, there you go. Because
yeah.
What you need on TLC is on a night when you have a late tables match.
Yeah.
A ladder match,
yeah.
A chair match, and a TLC match. They should try and find a room to fit a stick match in there.
Tables, last man standing, and chairs.
Like, what the fuck, you idiots?
I know.
You fucking tools.
Yes.
Oh, my fucking God.
Well, I mean, the TLC is there now. Is it the table match is set to be CM Punk against Ryback.
Yeah.
The ladder match is set to be a three-way for the tag team titles with Primetime,
Karin
Ray, and Team
and
Hell No.
And Ryback Punk is perfect, because Ryback can take a fluke thing
and
go through another pit table because the Shield comes through a table a couple times.
Exactly. And then you've got, obviously announced already, the chairs match.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a couple of other, the Intercontinental title and the U.S. title. And,
yeah, and then you'll have sort of Cena against Ziggler.
Right.
And what they're going to be doing, we'll break it right now. This is not being announced yet, and nobody has broken this scoop, and I don't have any inside information, but I'm going to give you this right now. I said this to you a few days ago.
Yes.
What they're going to be doing is a ladder match, a
TLC match.
The Money in the Bank is going to be hanging over. John Cena is going to win it. You'll likely use it to cash in at WrestleMania. The Royal Rumble winner will instead face whoever is the world champion. Ziggler will never cash it in and never get it. It will go over to Cena, and he will use it either the night of the Royal Rumble or the next night on Raw against The Rock to announce that match.
Yes.
That's where they're going with that. So,
you know, that, and that's an interesting. And then to spout off of that, I actually then have Dolph Ziggler winning the Royal Rumble.
I would, too. Though I don't think they'll go in that direction, but I would, too.
Yes, and that makes, I mean, to me, that actually makes, like, a logical sense.
Yeah,
story,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly. It's amazing that they just came up with
that.
That has not been their long-term plan, but that is what they're doing now.
So, my question to you is, how do they fuck this up?
Well, they could have Ryback win the belt.
Yes.
At
TLC. Championship.
What's that?
It's a championship.
Oh, I'm sorry, the championship. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to call the World Championship a belt. The WWE Championship. My mistake. Yeah, that's not allowed to be said.
No.
Yeah, there's lots of ways they could.
Oh, anyway,
this is where they're going at the moment.
Got off topic with you talking about
so
Randy.
That's
Orton.
A scoop, and I hope that. I mean, that should be interesting. It makes a lot of sense.
Yes, yeah, so John Cena to win the TLC match to get the Money in the Bank, announce that he's going to cash it in at WrestleMania, and The Rock wins the Royal Rumble wins the title at the Royal Rumble
and
fights Cena cashing in
WrestleMania. Yeah.
Now, my only the you said it's a logical story.
Uh-huh.
And the only flaw, the only chink in the armor there is...
Chink in the armor.
Huh.
Really?
Tenzai? Is...
He's Japanese.
Oh.
The only Jap in the armor?
He's from Boston, actually. But...
The fuck kind of show are we doing?
Well, we know. But that's for the world title.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Money in the Bank is for Sheamus or for Big Show's title.
Oh, fuck, they have a
problem. No, I'm just saying. That's the only illogical part of that story.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they can get around it. I mean...
Again, I'm breaking the scoop by telling you what they're going to do, and this has not been broken. I have no inside information.
No.
I'm just telling you because it's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the only thing that makes... It makes perfect sense.
It does.
So, okay, other than that, so...
Yeah, for the wrong belt.
Anything happen on the SmackDown spoilers?
Nope.
Anything in TNA you want to talk about?
Nope.
All right, let's move on to what we actually want to talk about.
Randy Orton.
Okay. Randy Orton lost clean to Ziggler. Like you say, next night he has a pretty decent 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yes.
With Alberto Del Rio. A lot of speculation that he should go heel. He's been wanting to go heel for a long time. He prefers being a heel.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of speculation that now's the time to do it. And it makes sense because right now he is, what, their third or fourth baby face? Fourth probably right now. Maybe
four.
Or fifth.
Who's four?
Well, Ryback.
Ryback Acne. I would still say, I still have to say he's probably...
He's more over than Sheamus, but he's not in their push
in the way
they've been doing it.
It would be Sheamus.
He'd be fourth.
He'd be fourth
in the end, then I guess, I don't know, I guess Miz or Ray would be fifth.
I would probably say Miz on their depth chart,
yeah. So this is kind of, if he's down there now, if he goes over...
Down where?
Down there. If he goes over and he turns heel, he probably slots into being the number two heel. Certainly number three, because, you have Show and Punk, right? The two champions.
Right. I think he would
go... Punk, I don't really think Show is keeping that belt much longer.
I was going to say, I think he would go up ahead of Show. I think he'd be number two.
Yeah, so he'd be number two. So that is a better spot for him. So I want to talk to you about, do you think they should turn him, and do you think they will turn him?
Well, I think they should.
Okay.
I do think they should, absolutely. I always thought of Randy Orton, it's funny because they call him the Viper and such.
Apex Predator.
He reminds me a lot of Jake Roberts.
Yeah.
And Jake Roberts flipped back and forth all the time, but it was almost kind of seamless. Mm-hmm. Like, I never thought, that was weird, wasn't it? It all sort of flowed and made sense. And I think it's just time for Randy Orton, the character, the way the character has gone. For him, because he started as a babyface, he went heel, he went back babyface, he went heel. Now he's back to being a babyface again, so it's time for him to go heel, I think. And he's been a face for quite a while.
He has been. So when you think about it, Legacy, that was a hell of a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to,
Two WrestleManias ago, he was a face fighting CM Punk, right?
Yeah.
So, we're talking about...
We're coming into almost...
3 years.
3 years.
Yeah.
As a baby face, which is a long time in this.
Three years to be a baby face.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
But especially in this era. Now, you think they should. Do you think they will?
I'll tell you what, a fellow that we talked about a little earlier, not on the show, but before we started the show, whose contract is up in February, I think will play a lot, big part of that, is if they do get Jeff Hardy, and Jeff Hardy can fill that baby face slot there, then they're going to almost have to.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a log jam there. By the same token, I think...
And if you consider The Rock also on the babyface side, right?
For the short term, he would be, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even put him into that mix, I guess. But just because he'll do the one and done again, right? I mean, his two matches are set.
Yeah,
and,
that's true.
And then he'll move on. But, you've got Brock Lesnar to come back in. So I also, on the heel side, which I don't, put in, you've got The Undertaker to put in on the base. So, really, you're stacking with these special appearance guys.
If he comes back, you have Triple H, whatever.
Hey, you've got three special appearance guys that are going to knock Randy Orton's WrestleMania back to him fighting Kane again, right?
Yeah.
He was so... persona non grata last WrestleMania because of this.
And he hasn't, basically since he lost the belt to Mark Henry, he hasn't been anywhere near the top of the card.
No. His whole thing was he was going to get Mark Henry to win the Royal Rumble, right, and get the revenge thing.
Yeah, revenge.
And then
after
Daniel Bryan
losing to him, finally get redemption. That was the storyline. And
Daniel Bryan got hot.
And Daniel Bryan got hot, and it just didn't turn out that way. So it's been a long time, and it's been a long time that he's been in the mid-card. Should they turn him? Yeah. I don't 100%. You talk about Jake Roberts. He's not Jake Roberts. It's a different era, and I don't think he can just...
He ruined my wedding.
Well, that's exactly it, though. What can he do right now as that character? If he stays this character...
Well, you're right. I mean, I'm not directly... I mean, with Jake Roberts always said something dastardly, ruined a wedding. He buried The Undertaker, or buried the
different
Ultimate
era.
Warrior. Totally different era. I just think at this point, Randy Orton has to take out... I would actually have to... again, you've got to go to that babyface... side then, and I don't know that him punting or beating up Sheamus, let's say.
No, it would turn him heel.
Turn
him heel, but it wouldn't get a lot of heel heat.
Rey Mysterio is probably the only guy.
And even then, we've seen it a million times. I mean, Rey Mysterio, maybe he would get heat if he beats up a lovable Zack Ryder still, but it's not going to matter at all.
Can you bring in Jeff Hardy, team him with Jeff Hardy, have him turn on Jeff Hardy, lead to a Mania match.
That you could do, and that would get heel heat for a month. But even then, I think you would get a 60-40 split at a Mania. And that's the problem with Randy Orton. Randy Orton's cool. The reason Randy Orton's a babyface right now is they didn't even want to turn him babyface back with Legacy. The idea was that Legacy, that Rhodes and DiBiase would turn babyface, and he would still continue to be the heel.
Right.
The crowd was just like, look, he's established, he's good. We've been watching him a long time. He's cool. He's a cool guy. He's the coolest guy. We talk about Wade Barrett and him.
They're
like the coolest guys in the WWE and Punk, sort of, right? But not the current Punk character. Mm-hmm. He's still cool. And if he continues to be the Viper, Apex Predator, he's going to continue to be cool. And he'll never get more than a 50-50, 60-40 split. I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can successfully turn this character. Now, that doesn't mean you can't turn Randy Orton. That means Randy Orton turns. The challenge has to be Randy Orton, okay, you're turning. And you cannot beat anything.
Reinvent yourself.
You have to completely reinvent yourself. You have to do what Chris Jericho did.
Yeah.
You know? You have to completely be a different character. That means none of the same pounding on the mat as your finisher. You still use RKO, but you don't do the pounding on the mat.
No.
You don't do the
new music.
You don't do the cold-blooded guy. You have to be something completely different. Be the 1984 Six Horsemen. Be the guy in the hot tub with women all around, drinking champagne with a sunglass and a smile, and you know, living it up. And who's better than you that you're
cool.
jealous of? Well, no, it is, but it isn't. Like, it is if
the Horsemen were cool.
The Horsemen were cool. That's true. Again, it's about making people jealous and not making them respect you. The point is though that would
voodoo?
Be different. What's that?
Could he learn voodoo?
No. But that's it, though. I mean, and if he's like that, and he's living it up, but he's also showing his ass, and everybody knows how good he is, he'll get the heel heat. But that's exactly it. He cannot... This character, I don't think, is successful. I don't think you can turn him. I do not think that in this day and age, they can turn him. Remember, they took him, and they had him, his character. And we'll say his character, because I'm sure it happened in real life, too. But his character fucks Kelly Kelly.
Right.
And then she comes back to him a couple nights later and completely blows her off.
Yeah.
And they thought that would get him a lot of heel heat.
I know.
What did that do? It made him more over and pushed him towards being a babyface.
Well, that's because he's relatable, because most of the audience has done that.
Well, they didn't blow her off, but that's exactly... No, but most of the audience would love to be able to fuck a chick that hot and then blow her off. That's just like, you know, an audience got off on that.
Yeah.
And that's exactly it. This character, he has to be... The Horseman or some other character from the past that drew good heel heat that he can reinvent himself as, that has nothing in common with the Viper, Apex Predator, RKO Randy Orton.
Yeah. No, and it's... So what...
That's what I wanted to talk about to you is do you agree that he has to completely reinvent himself, and what do you think they should do?
I think he does. I don't... Again, it's tough as to... it's tough as to what he can do. Because, again, he's already that kind of cold-blooded.
Well, that's exactly it. If he went away from that and did something else, and everybody knows it was phony and was really...
But that's heel-like, you know what I mean? Like, the thing is...
That's not in this day and age.
No, I know, but... You can't start smiling.
Yeah, you can.
Well, I mean, you can have a sort of a cocky, arrogant smile, I guess.
Oh, he can have a full-out smile, sunglasses, drinking champagne. Fucking, he can be Christopher Daniels.
Well, I mean, he could, and that's the only thing I can think of is almost like a CM Punk, you know, I'm better than you character. And that would be the only thing I could think of for him to do.
Something that is, you know, is totally phony. If he acts like a total phony,
yeah,
that will work as a heel.
Yeah. And, you know, but, I mean, again, and this would get him over eventually, and then to transition out, his catchphrase would be, I'm Randy Orton and you're not.
Because
that would sell shirts.
Sure.
And then he would turn babyface again.
Yeah, you could do something like that.
But...
Yeah.
Yeah, it does have to be different, though. And yeah, that cocky, I'm better than you, arrogant guy.
Yeah, just being a heel and just being cocky isn't enough. It has to be really over the top, because the thing about him is he's not over the top.
No.
So they have to go opposite. They have to really kill the current character and start a new one. Like we say, Chris Jericho, his heel character when he reinvented himself was not like his babyface character or his heel character before. It was nothing the same.
Well, the other thing, though,
before he was over the top, now he was subdued. Before he was dressing fancy, now he's in suits. Before he was talking with catchphrases, now he's talking.
Now he's not. Yeah.
Now he's using a sophisticated words to show he's smarter than you.
And
everything was gone.
Yeah.
And that's what Randy Orton has to do.
Yeah, he almost has to do the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, that does, yeah. So.
Which is why I went to the Horseman, because I just think that's characters that are opposite.
Well, that is that type of character. Yeah. I mean, but it's again, you have to do it in a heel.
You have to do it in a heel way. Yeah.
In a heel way, and I mean, that's almost like what Evolution tried to do.
Well, it is. It's like, okay, that's what I mean. That is to a large degree what Batista was doing towards the end of his last run.
Yeah,
and it was working. Why? Because he was just such a douche. You were just like, what a fucking douche. He has to be a douche.
Yeah, douche. There you go.
That's it. He has to be a douche.
Randy
not a cool guy. Not a cool heel.
A douche, yeah.
A complete douche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he already is.
And he already is, exactly. So he has to, they have to highlight that doucheness.
Yeah, accentuate the doucheness.
Yeah, exactly.
Good.
Exactly.
Done. Book it.
And how great would it be if he comes in, fails his last drug test, and puts over Jeff Hardy on the way out the door?
That would be excellent.
How much irony. Who probably gets a free, a clean slate? That would be irony.
Well,
but then again, it's not like I don't expect Jeff Hardy to sign with them, but we'll see.
The thing is he just had with Alberto Del Rio, a 2 out of 3 falls match.
Yeah.
So with Jeff Hardy, you could have a 2 out of 3 strikes match.
No shit. The loser gets their file test results revealed.
Pink slip on a pole.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, what else we got going on here then?
In the world of professional wrestling?
Yeah.
Nothing.
All right, well, let's talk then about two things we have left to do then.
Yeah.
Number one, we're going to talk about the DVD that they sent us a preview for.
Yes.
Let's get into it.
Attitude Era. As a lot of people may be listening to this in the United States of America, today is their Thanksgiving, which means there was 3 football games on for me to pay attention to when I'm at work, and you actually get to watch them while you're at work.
Yep.
tomorrow is Black Friday.
Yeah.
So... there'll be a lot of people buying some Christmas stuff and buying some things. And if you're buying something for the professional wrestling fan on
not
your
fair,
list,
they just get to shop.
I know, right? They're gonna pay this time.
Oh my god! That's Addy, Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com.
Well, last time we watched the DVD, they said they got stuff for free.
Okay.
Mark Henry said that.
Yeah, it's true. Mark Henry did say that. So, it's like we got on the DVD, he says, how they used to get cars for free. Car rentals for free, which is hilarious. Because that time that it was him and The Rock in the car, and they asked me for directions here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were definitely in a rental car, and I don't think they paid for that thing.
No. And you gave them the directions for free.
Yeah, I did. I didn't even ask The Rock for the people's eyebrow, though I wanted to.
Yeah. I know you wanted to.
He was
to.
A nice guy.
Yeah.
I was an asshole.
You were. Still are. But for the wrestling
fan... I just
fan,
didn't want him to know I was a mark. I didn't want to mark out.
No.
So I wanted to, but I wanted to know that I really was a fan.
You mowed out.
So instead, I brought up how I used to play in the CFL.
Yeah.
And he looked at me like I was an asshole.
Yes. So you mowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for the professional wrestling fan on your list, this coming Black Friday, if you're looking for a great DVD that's going to probably be on a really great price, the WWE's new Attitude Era is not for you.
No. It's a shit.
This,
I mean, I appreciate them sending us a preview, but they have to know we're not going to kiss their ass just because they did.
Yeah, that NWO DVD, great.
Yeah, really enjoyed that.
This Attitude Era, man, was just, it seemed disorganized.
It was disorganized. It didn't ever really
have a point.
It didn't really ever have a point. It didn't ever really feel like it had a vision. It was really felt like something that would have been produced for Confidential.
It was 47 minutes long, the documentary.
Yeah. Essentially, what it was a ton of mini documentaries on performers in the Attitude Era.
Yeah, and then they threw in a couple things about, like, the hardcore division and, like, the divas and, like...
But as far as backstage and the story of how it got there and inside stuff and revelations and new people
Damian.
To listen to... Yeah, well, he was there at the beginning of the Attitude Era, though, wasn't he? Austin 316.
Yeah, I guess. Revelation. Well, no, but that's not when the Attitude Era started, so we'll get there.
Well, I suppose. Well, it was.
They did. Well, not according to them, remember?
Yeah.
But
97, they said, yeah.
Basically, what they talked about is this group DX and how great they were.
Yeah.
They talked about Steve Austin and how great he was.
Yeah.
They talked about the hardcore division. They talked about some of the undercard.
Vince and how great he was, the McMahon, Helmsley, how great that was.
Yes.
Then some more about how great DX was.
A little bit more about how great DX was. Then the Val Venus and the Godfather and stuff.
Val Venus, the Godfather, Mark Henry. And then they talked about some of the stuff that wasn't so good, like Mark Henry. And then
Choppy.
Yeah, and then they spent about, managed to fit in about a minute worth of Chris Jericho, so that was almost 10 times as much as they fit in for The Rock.
But then they got, I was going to say, then in about 46 minutes or 40 minutes of this 47-minute documentary, they got to The Rock.
Yeah, exactly. Between 40 minutes and 4 seconds and 40 minutes and 10 seconds, they talked about The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, again, the interviews that they did.
Oh, and then they showed us some DX where he was imitating The Rock.
The Croc, yeah. But I mean, they talked about
they didn't
the music.
Jason Sensation, fuckers.
No, I know, right? But, or Owen, at all.
No.
Didn't talk about the Radicals jumping.
No.
You know.
No, they didn't talk about the Radicals jumping. They talked a little bit about WCW shutting down.
And that was
barely.
And that's when they had announced the end of the Attitude Era.
I'd say that's
about right. Is when the simulcast basically ended the Attitude. And I would like to think that WrestleMania probably did.
Yeah.
Rock
I think
and
of
Austin
316 when, I personally think of Rock and 316 as when the Attitude Era starts. And
I don't because of what they did after. I think of
if you take the Hitman's middle name and put an S in front of it, you'll have exactly
you
what
put
I
the letter S
about.
In front of Hitman, you'll get it, my exact opinion of
Bret
Hart.
Yeah, that's the Attitude Era, and that's before. That's
but,
shortly after.
I mean, at the same time, there was fake Razor.
He's already
and Diesel.
Yeah, sure, there's fake Razor and whatever, and he's also giving the finger.
I just think more of the Attitude Era in. That just before the Survivor Series of
we're starting to get some of, we're starting to get Mankind emerging in that character.
Yeah, man.
Okay, it's not the full Attitude Era, but it's the beginning stages.
Yeah, oh sure, but I don't consider the era starting. I consider Stone Cold and the resurgence starting at Austin 316, since I just whooped your ass. But the actual Attitude Era, if I was gonna say when was the Attitude Era, I would say late 97.
Late 97? You don't even think it's when... Well, I guess it is late 97.
I don't even think the Pillman-Austin gun angle is Attitude Era.
It's as soon as... Would you say it's right after Heart and Soul? When Sean throws heel?
Yeah, pretty much when Sean and DX forms. DX is really the one doing that. The New Age Outlaws come along at the same time, beat the Legion of Doom, then move into the Chainsaw Charlie thing. Then at least you've got
Oh, so, they talked about the Brood several times.
They did talk about the Brood, but and that was a year later even. But, I mean, that's where at least you had Austin, you had DX.
You talked about Patterson and the Stooges.
Yeah.
You had Patterson and Briscoe.
Austin, DX, and then you had, and the New Age Outlaws.
A little
and
bit about ETA.
You had Mankind and Chainsaw, Charlie, right?
A little bit about,
Charlie,
the, little
right,
bit about the tag team division,
so.
When it was like the three Dudleys, the Hardys.
Yes,
and
yeah, the ladder match and
a little
stuff.
Bit of
they
that.
Did talk about that, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they did some undercard stuff. But it, like you said, it was largely a bunch of stuff pieced together. Interview-wise, they got Val Venus. There was a one line from Vince Russo again.
Yeah, so we he had one line in or two lines in
two lines in the NWO one
and one line in this combined screen time for the guy now is about 40 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
So they flew him in. He's got to have something else. When we saw that this was there, we're like, okay, it made sense. We're trying to figure out where else we'd be in. Get off there. We're like, well, fuck, that's what he's gonna be in. We
yeah.
expect him to be all over this fucking thing
because he wrote it.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
No. So, again, what the
and
fuck
was
he brought in?
And all he said was Stone Cold Steve Austin was the beer-drinking, boss-killing guy that every Joe American wanted to be.
Yes.
That was all he said.
That's
like,
exactly
wow,
it.
Wow, insight.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Maybe they brought him in with the intention of him all over it, and he sucked.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Are you sure?
Probably, again, they probably just said everything they didn't want to hear.
Maybe.
You know,
maybe.
So.
Yeah, there's a mountain, and this is where we talk about the mountain of bullshit.
Yes.
They're reinventing history or believing, and it's probably heightened by the fact that we just watched the roundtable.
Yeah.
Where they're talking about the history of Raw with JR and Road Dogg.
Road Dogg.
Who was all over this DVD as well.
Yeah.
Michael Hayes and Pat Patterson, hosted by Mean Gene.
Yeah.
They need some fresh faces and younger people on this fucking thing. And,
well, I don't even know that they need younger. They need different. It depends on the topic. If you're going to talk about Raw, this is where you have
to. You can use these guys, too, but you need to present one that's different and with different, younger looks.
Well,
but
I just...
Regardless, the point is that that was also feeding me full of bullshit and a
yeah.
reinvention of history. And it's partially the company line. It's partially that these guys believe it. And now it's now they're, again, the he who wins gets to write history.
Right, yeah.
And that's what they're doing. They are rewriting history about a lot of things.
Yeah, and they're...
There's so much bullshit in that, and there's so many lies told during this DVD.
Well, again, a lot of it has to do with, I mean, and it's, you think of the stuff, and the reason that you, and you go through this Attitude Era and how it was a choppy documentary.
Oh, yeah, and Mick Foley talking about how, I thought that gave us some unfair criticism.
Yeah.
Really?
No, not unfair. Unneeded.
Oh, unneeded.
He didn't like it. He thought that that draw attention in a way that people could point to that and say, yeah, that is stupid.
Yeah, because it was the Val Venus character. Not talking about the racist characters doing the other stuff.
Well, or, I mean, and it's, well, yeah, there's all that. And then there's, I mean, they talk about the Brawl for All in this.
Yeah.
And how JBL came up with the idea for the Brawl for All. And
then he admitted it sucked.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's.
I said JBL, they didn't say JBL. They came to him and JBL said, it's going to be real. So
oh, he him. Wanted to do, his idea was kind of a hardcore division. And then they came up with the Brawl for All based
yeah.
on what JBL
yeah.
said. But, and JBL probably said we need some more realism in
yeah,
it,
yeah.
right? And so, but, I don't know. I said the thing was all over the place. They didn't talk about the Mankind title win. They didn't
it
talk
did,
about
it. Did, and
another know.
Thing, it doesn't. It didn't seem to go very chronological. It was just jumping
all
over.
Oh, it was
all
over,
yeah. Yeah,
and,
just terrible. Yeah, they didn't talk at all about, yeah. And I know they've talked about it a million times, but yeah, they didn't talk about.
Well, even like Halftime Heat.
About that. Or, well, yeah, exactly. But they didn't talk. They talked about Sunday Night Heat and the debut of SmackDown for 12 seconds.
Yeah.
Trying to fit too much into 47 minutes. Maybe this would be the 3-hour documentary is what you needed. The fact is, you didn't talk about Mankind and Tony Schiavone. That'll put asses in the seat.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Cause yeah, because we've seen it a
talk
million
to death, but I mean, acknowledge it.
Acknowledge it.
And
yeah.
as I said, you do something like Halftime Heat, go a different way with it.
Yeah.
And acknowledge it. But yeah, but that would have, again, gone chronologically, and they didn't do
what
that.
Would have had,
I mean,
had a plan. It was shitty.
Is, yeah.
But that said, while it was shitty, and people should not watch it. I mean, if you buy these things for the documentaries, you shouldn't watch it. Some of the specials, like the matches.
The matches right. will probably be all right, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, but the documentary itself, you know. That said, it did give us some ideas about some things to talk about.
Yes. Well, what we looked at, we decided to write down everything on that they talk about on on the documentary.
Yeah.
That they did well, that worked, that they don't do now.
Yeah, so we thought we'd get three or four things.
Yeah, we got about 15.
Exactly. Exactly. So let's go through these.
Let's talk about it at the top. Music.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, like, we listened to, like, well, they did a segment on music.
They
and
did.
How, like,
really,
the Bruce
really quick
music
one, yeah.
was good, and DX music was good, and you know, the Too Cool and the Oddities all had different music.
Number
and
one,
different
the
sounds.
Music was good,
yeah.
but Oddities didn't sound anything like Too Cool, which didn't sound anything like DX's, which didn't sound anything like the Broods. It was all cool, but it didn't sound alike. Whereas right now, Seamus's and Wade Barrett's and Dolph Ziggler's and, you know, almost everybody's music really sounds the same.
A lot of it sounds the same.
Yeah,
I
and it's not very good.
But there's
nothing catchy. It's not very good. People, it doesn't stand out.
There's a few catchy. But,
a few, yeah.
Somebody call my mama.
There's one, yeah. I think Christian's is catchy, but it's
what
not
is
like
Christian's.
Does
he have that? To see if you just close your eyes.
Yeah,
own.
Yeah.
Is
it's
the same
right.
one?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Christian in ages,
yeah,
but
exactly.
But
yeah, all the music essentially sounds the same. It's all the.
Well, I shouldn't say they're a lot of their.
The music used to really personify the gimmick, is the thing, or the character.
Or
the
person, yeah.
Whereas Wade Barrett's, in no way says, that's Wade Barrett, the character.
No, that's right. That's
and,
right.
And that's what I mean. So not only is the music not particularly awesome, it's okay, whatever, if you like that.
I don't think the Miz's does anything.
It doesn't do a fucking thing.
You know.
Doesn't do a thing. In fact, his old music is still better than with the guitar at the opening.
Isn't that John Morrison's?
No. The Morrison also had a guitar at the opening. The Miz's had a. I don't know.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, whatever. Well, it was still better than what he has now.
Yeah.
So it was more distinctive. And that's it. Nothing is distinctive or sets apart the personality. That's one thing they could do better, that they did better in the Attitude Era, that they did better in the 1980s.
Yeah, they're starting to. I mean, I could think of some. I mean,
okay.
like. I know when Rey Mysterio's coming down. I know when Mark Henry's coming down.
Okay.
I know when the prime time players are coming down,
okay.
right? I'll give you though, but like you said, Wade Barrett, you know, I disagree. Miz, I agree.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
Primo
Wade,
and Epico,
I've always liked Mark Henry's. Somebody's going to get their ass kicked.
Yeah.
It sounds like a big, mean guy coming.
Yeah.
Rey Mysterio's, I still like his Who's That Coming Out of the Sky 619.
Yeah, but Booyaka
better,
Booyaka.
But Booyaka, though, it's distinctive, and it is by a real band. But now you talk about the primetime players. Okay, I guess it's okay. It's nothing special, but at least it's different than other people.
It is, yeah. It's just I know it's theirs, right?
Yeah.
3MB has got the new one.
Finally.
So, I mean, Zack Ryder's has got the old radio, right?
His is different.
Santino's is different.
Santino's is different. Daniel Bryan's is different. How different is Ryback's?
Well, but if you don't have
how different do you expect the Shield's to be?
Yeah, well, that's where I was going to go with
if
that.
You don't,
just,
yeah,
you
that's
know,
what,
what's the Shield going to be?
If you don't have to feed me more,
yes, and that gets to catchphrases.
Yeah,
where guys had catchphrases. There's the odd catchphrase now, but that's the only thing that the Miz does. Awesome at the beginning, or feed me more, and then it goes into the music, right? Those are really the only ones.
Yeah, I mean, Sheamus doesn't have one.
No.
CM Punk never had one.
No.
It's Clobber and Time would be the closest, and that doesn't count.
No, exactly.
It's not one.
You know? No, I mean, he tried.
Daniel Bryan has one, but they didn't
yes,
like it. So they've gone back to it, kind of.
Kind of. It's still kind of his
but, no, they don't have catchphrases like they used to.
Millions of dollars.
I mean, when they show fucking Road Dogg, and Road Dogg says it. He goes, when I have 12,000 people sing every single word I say.
Well, they had this sign in the crowd.
Yeah.
That had every word.
They had every word going
section.
Right around the arena.
Yeah.
And it's like, that was a big part of it, that fan interaction, feeling like you're part of the show.
Yeah, well, even, I mean, WCW did it with NWO and hand signals and Too Sweet and Feel the Bang with, you know, and even DDP used to do that Hollywood scum, and then let them say Hogan, right? I mean, but they had them.
Yep.
And that's the thing.
Never. Ever.
you know what? The Godfather be pimping hoes nationwide. I want you to light up a fatty for this pimp daddy. Light one up and say, pimping ain't easy, right?
It was a big part of the show, and they don't do it anymore.
No.
Ziggler doesn't have one. Heels and babyfaces had them back then, and maybe more of the babyfaces should have them. But, I mean, really think about the other babyfaces. Think about, I can't even think. Randy Orton's never had one. Ever, I don't think.
No.
You know, and with his gimmick, I guess that's understandable, sort of. But
yeah.
Like I say, Rey Mysterio's never had one.
Christian doesn't
have
one.
Yeah, exactly. Christian, sort of, but.
What is his?
Something about peeps or something like that.
Something
or,
about
or
peeps.
Something, he had something that he was
there's
doing.
Something about peeps.
I can't remember what it was.
Woo, woo, woo.
Okay, so there's one.
There you go.
And there's the guy who got fucking
himself,
over.
Himself, right?
Got over, and yeah, nothing. No, they need, really need to have some catchphrase.
Ryback is feed me more, you can't see me, John Cena, woo, 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 on the Zack Ryder.
Even John Cena doesn't say it every fucking promo.
No, that's
it's
true.
Just during the match.
That's true.
Yeah.
But
the
I mean,
Rock has a million.
Yes.
Steve Austin had a million.
Yeah.
DX had a million.
Yeah. Yeah. The Godfather had his stick. Val Venus had his stick. The New Age Outlaws had their stick. For the benefit of those of you with flash photography.
Exactly.
You know, Mick Foley had Have a Nice Day.
Yeah.
Bang, bang, whatever you want to do, you know. There was just, there was lots. I mean, you had, I'm just trying to think of, but I mean, those were enough in the in that mid-card.
Mm-hmm. Well, hell, even in the 80s, people had theirs, you know.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
ho. You know,
yeah.
What you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Yeah.
Trust me.
Trust me, yeah.
You know, just everybody's got a price.
Yeah.
You know, cutting and strutting.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, the best there is, the best there was, the best there
yeah,
will be.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's, no, there was definitely, and those are the guys that get over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, Outlaw Ron Bass never had a catchphrase.
Fucking right, but he had.
I know.
Yeah. What's the difference between Bad News Brown or Bad News Allen, whatever you want to call him? Because his gimmick is the exact same as Steve Austin's. Well, he didn't do any catchphrases.
That's
other
right.
than that thing gimmick.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Black
rest
Trunks.
In, rest in peace.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
But I mean, so those are the guys, and that's what they need to do is get guys. I mean, Dolph Ziggler started that follow that.
Yeah, that lasted 2 weeks. They don't even call him the show off anymore.
No, what is it? But his shirt says that still.
His shirt says it, but they don't reference it. It's not part of his. It was for a little while. His
it was.
Entrance, they fucking dropped that too.
No.
They're fucking idiots.
Well,
nicknames too. Give me some fucking nicknames,
and
you fuckers.
It changed his music.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because
and now you know what it sounds just like everybody else's.
Yeah, I know. I'm here to show the world. I'm here to because that was part of the show off thing.
Yeah,
and he had old music that was I Am Perfection, right?
Yeah,
but
which and I think when we talk about most of these guys, it's that if we do know the music and say it's pretty good, it's just because they've been around for a while and we've heard it enough. It's not really that it's distinctive.
No, that you're right, exactly. And yeah, you're right. Nicknames of guys as well to
yeah.
you know, and that's something UFC does very well.
UFC does that very well.
But, I mean, and you think of, again, we talk about the primetime players, right?
Yeah.
Real Deal, Titus O'Neil, and Mr.
Yeah.
No Nights Off, Darren Young. I mean, those are
millions
the
of dollars. Millions of dollars is the catchphrase.
Yeah, and they got the music, and guess what? They're getting over,
yeah.
right? I mean, it's just...
starting to happen, and it will happen.
It's, yeah.
What do people like about Ryback? They don't like his work, they don't like his anything, but they do like chanting Feed Me More.
Well, yeah, and the thing was, even in the... on WWE.com, they had a thing that was taped for the main event show,
uh-huh.
where it was, I think it was Santino against Tyson Kidd was the match,
uh-huh.
and that's where the Shield ran out.
Uh-huh.
But on this clip that they have on WWE.com, it's not the, it's from the taping, so there's no commentary or anything.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, you know, a camera shot with no audio, basically, just crowd audio.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as the Shield comes out and power bombs Tyson Kidd, I think it was. The crowd chanting, feed me more.
Of course they are.
Feed me more, right?
Of
feed
course they are. That's
more.
Exactly it. Just
so,
like chanting Goldberg. I mean,
yeah.
I love chanting that.
And it's just, so, I mean, but it's over.
Yeah.
And it's audience participation.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's what they don't
it's
have.
It's not that they're chanting it because they want to chant something. Not even so much, it's not even so much about the guy, but it all feeds into each other.
Feeds it more.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go on to something else that they used to do good.
Entrances.
Yeah, their entrances. They had a lot of distinct entrances.
Yeah.
There was a lot of pyro, and now they've cut
and ballyhoo.
They've cut back the pyro and the fire and all that shit a lot to save money.
Yeah.
And in doing so, they've made a product that seems more generic and less interesting, and that doesn't give people unique looks and presentation, and they don't get over as easily. Just look at back in the day when you had the entrance of Goldust, the New Age Outlaws, the Brood, Kane, Ken Shamrock,
Undertaker.
All of these were distinct and cool. Even, you know, just gave you something different.
Yeah. They had a little bit with Rey Mysterio for a while with the
they dropped that of course.
Yeah, and Sin Cara had a little bit with his I guess he still does, but he had the trampoline deal.
Yeah, that didn't work so good, but it was the right idea.
But I mean, it's different idea.
I think it would have worked so much if they hadn't done the light thing.
Yeah,
That's what really hurt it. So,
but and I'm just
Jesus Christ, does your dog smell? By the way.
Oh, I know. Yeah, please stay over there. But. But I'm just trying to think, like, does anybody have, even Kane doesn't have so much of that anymore.
Nothing, really.
But is there anybody that actually...
What makes Sheamus'
Alberto
entrance...
Alberto Del Rio
has one and has the announcer, okay. So what makes Sheamus' entrance different than Ryback's?
Well, that, yeah. No, exactly. And different from John Cena's, for that matter.
Yeah, other than different music. Did actual
Punk?
Entrance? Not a fucking CM Punk... The only thing different about CM Punk is that he takes the time to sit on the stage and say it's clobbering time. But then that, nothing. Nothing.
Well, Ryback stands at the thing and waits and then looks up or whatever the camera does.
That's things he's doing. Nothing they're doing in presentation makes a single difference in the...
John Cena talks to that camera before he runs down the ramp. I mean, but it's so tiny that it's not even... I don't say it's barely worth mentioning.
It's
at the end of the day, it's just a guy going down the ring.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly.
I mean, even the primetime players have their little dance thing at the top, but then
yeah,
they walk down
them.
The ring.
Again, right? That's them. There's nothing presentation. There's no fireworks going off with it. There's no cool background.
Lights aren't dimming, you know. I mean,
no cool. If they had a cool animation, the background of the Titantron, like Jericho when he used to have that fucking his entrances, you know, that went down and went boof, you know.
Yeah.
And the Y2J countdown.
The last one was...
Well, that shit.
Now that he's 3MB, but Drew McIntyre...
Yeah.
...had that different...
I don't remember. He always started in the ring.
No. His whole thing was the full screen, like, on your television. It was
yeah.
It was his Titantron, and then it was like an animation of him walking out, and as he walked out, it turned into real life. It was a big deal from when he was...
Oh, Drew McIntyre. Somehow I was thinking, yeah, Drew McIntyre was cool.
Yeah.
They put a lot of time into that, and
they
used it for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I thought for some reason I was thinking Heath Slater.
Oh, yeah.
And he was always in the ring. Yeah, well, fucking NWO, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, think of even...
I mean, very few guys... I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin with the glass.
Yeah.
It's not much, but it's something. But The Rock didn't have anything, but you know what? It was okay The Rock didn't have anything, because it made him different to not have anything.
Well,
it was okay to have a couple guys like that. Ken Shamrock didn't have anything, and that made him... He just had the music, which was distinctive, and the intensity, and that was all he needed. But Kurt Angle had something distinctive. Like you know, it's something that really...
You don't need everything. It's all
no.
The thing is, if you've got
that's
the music...
That's the fucking point.
If you've got the music, you've got the catchphrase, you can walk down to the ring because people are chanting, "You suck."
Yeah.
"You suck," or, you know, with, you know, Booker T, "Can you dig it, sucka?"
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can walk down to the ring. "Do you smell what The Rock is cooking?"
Yeah.
Then, yeah, you can come down to, if you smell, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
He can walk down to the ring because he's got everything else, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's a guys like The Brood.
Yeah.
Who don't talk, like Rey Mysterio, who don't talk. Like Kane and Undertaker and part of those, that... Mystique. I mean, the New Age Outlaws did their shtick as they walked down the ring, which is
different,
it was
one of the
right?
things I actually really talked about, and we weren't actually in contact really at the time. We weren't in contact at all towards the end of WCW.
It was a good year.
Yeah, that was good years. Miss those.
Totally.
Towards nothing. Not talking to you actually makes me nostalgic for the end of WCW. But
yeah.
But no, the end of WCW for a long time they weren't doing that, and then all of a sudden, right near the end. They had a special entrance for, like, a Sean Stasiak and Vampiro and
Gregory Helms. Kid Romeo.
It made, but you know what? It helped. It made them seem like stars. It was something that they were behind WWE on. It was too late.
Well, no,
but
that
it was
something
that was noticeable.
But that was
and
something.
This is, they're closer to that.
But that was something that the deal was going to go to Fusion.
Yeah.
At the time, and that was something Eric Bischoff was spearheading, thinking that we're going to start here because this is where it's going to go. Mm-hmm. We're going to take it there, and then of course it all fell apart.
Mm-hmm.
But with Jamie Kellner canceling the television, so but yeah, they were going that way. They were too late.
It's something that they had stopped doing though.
Yeah, it was.
And they were starting to get to, and it was something that was noticeable because I would think how everybody had that unique interest in WWE
yeah.
at the time. Or WWF at the time, and nobody did in WCW. So when WCW started doing it, it was very noticeable. Like, oh, they're doing what WCW... But, yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
But a lot of
entrances don't exist.
They don't. It's deciphering guys is difficult. There's guys, but, I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah. Again, the music is different, but the entrance isn't different for Santino? Fuck. Or
Santana. Or Zach, yeah.
Yeah, it's the, you know, nothing presented different.
No, that's right. Then we talk about Zack Ryder, but true personalities.
Yeah.
You know.
So much of this, they do talk about one of the things that was a really big deal in the Attitude Era was they said, we're going to show you a little bit more like what we really like. And what we really like isn't PG. We don't walk around the backstage drinking milk and eating cookies.
No,
we
don't walk around giant teenagers.
Yeah, exactly. We don't walk around the backstage having a hand up saying, you can't see me and being all friendly and cute and saying poopy.
Yeah.
Hey, wrestlers
walk
in the backstage. They use words like fuck and motherfucking and shit.
And hustle.
And loyalty and
respect.
No, but that's it. So they do tell crude jokes. They do laugh. There's a bunch of teenagers.
They drink beer.
The Attitude Era showed these real guys. And I'm not saying you have to be crude, but just the sense that it doesn't. But no, well, we are. But just the sense though that you're showing us the real guys and you are proud of that, and now you're hiding it so much. I think that's what makes it feel. There needs to be an even ground in between here, middle ground where it's like. Show us the real guys a little bit more, make them feel more genuine without necessarily going to the Attitude Era, some of the crudeness.
Well, that's
but
right.
But don't script them. Don't create the personalities. We talk about how they create the personalities.
Yeah.
Who was it? The Fandango.
Yes,
he's
Fandango.
He's a perfect example. Fandango is a perfect example. You know what? Val Venus, it wasn't anything like the real person, but he was able to develop. He had fun with it. And a lot of times they went to the guys and they said, we need to see more of you in your character.
Yeah.
And nowadays it's we need to see more of you saying the lines we've written for you.
Yes.
And there's no more of the amount of you in the character is so small compared to what they said we need to see in the Attitude Era. It's one of the big things, one of the big changes they made.
I didn't see a Fandango promo.
No, thank fucking God.
On Raw. I don't remember seeing it.
Yeah, maybe because it's not a good idea.
But he would be, Fandango would probably be the equivalent of Val Venus, you know what I mean, to this. But
yeah.
I just look at true personality. I mean, like Bradshaw and Farouk sat in a bag and drank beer.
Yeah.
You know, APA, you know, Accolade Protection Agency. Like, you know, boom. You know, Jericho is a smart ass.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what he is.
Sean and Hunter, right? At the beginning of DX, right? Degenerate.
Well, the Godfather's his real personality.
Well, he owns a strip club in Vegas now.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so, but that's...
That was the Road Dogg's real personality, and that was Billy Gunn's real personality.
Yeah, exactly. Just guys, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was Ken Shamrock.
Now we've seen Titus O'Neil's real personality. Now see what the fuck they do with it.
Well, see, now that's the whole thing, is what do they do with it, right?
But that's it. I mean, we're not... They actually said, we want to see more of your real personality. Whereas now they say, we want to see more of that cookie-cutter look and the cookie-cutter style.
Where Mick Foley on the DVD said that the Attitude Era started, in his opinion, was when Vince held the meeting and said, we got to start seeing you guys in your characters.
Yeah.
Right? And they don't. These are, again, just scripted lines. They've got rooms full of writers, and here you go, right? It's okay to script out a television show, like a Raw. But when you're scripting everything everybody's saying.
Every single word.
It's just, you know.
Damian Sandow, I think, does a nice job with his scripted promos.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? He does a nice job with his scripted promos. I can give you five guys to do a shitty job with. Well, that's kind of the thing.
The thing is, it's not to say that you don't have those guys to be able to do that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
in the era when we're talking about Ted DiBiase and DiBiase and the Million Dollar Man, and we're talking about Mr. Perfect and all that stuff, that's still characters given to them.
Ravishing Rick Rude, yeah.
Well, Ravishing Rick Rude isn't that far off.
But no, those two, you're right. Yeah.
I mean, there's still characters given to them that get over, that they take something with. But there's also
Brutus the Barber.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. You get characters, but then you get to do it,
yeah.
You know, and be the character and perform the character. And again, every single promo was not scripted, right? Kurt Hennig cutting a promo against Jerry Lawler for the AWA, and Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig cutting a promo against Hulk Hogan.
Let's go back again.
Largely the same, just saying absolutely perfect at the end, or I'm perfectly going to annihilate you. But he got to come up with it, right?
Yeah. Well, again, let's go back to, really, I don't think that's that far off from who Kurt Hennig was. I think he just found who he was, put that character into it, and enhanced it.
Sure.
Let's go back to the perfect example, Usos. I've seen a couple, two or three times, they've had scripted promos, and they suck ass. I saw them at the Hall of Fame in Ducking Yokozuna, no scripted promo. They were entertaining, hilarious, very charismatic.
They were entertaining versions of the Wayans brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, that's exactly it. Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
They were like the Wayans brothers, only good.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, again, you got to let the guys' real personality come out and let them develop the character and show it to you and then work with them to make it better.
And, I mean, majority of these guys have personality.
Fucking right.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's a business that I don't think you can not have a personality.
Exactly.
In business,
it's a general rule. It develops. I mean, who's going to come to this thing and be try and get on the grand stage and entertain people? It's not going to be a boring guy generally. There's going to be your occasional guy who's never going to be a good promo. But you know what? If you have that guy who's a serious character, who's not great promo, but is a great wrestler, and he's different than everybody else, that's fine. You know, you can have one or two of those to offset everybody else. You know?
No, it's...
Yeah.
It is.
What else we got on here?
But it's about guys having fun, right? And it's not just having fun with their characters on television. But, I mean, it's like, you think about having fun with what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, how many after-show parties did Steve Austin and Rock host in the ring?
Oh, tons.
You know.
And they were having a good time, and so were... again, they showed the DX when DX is on the street, and it's just them hanging out, and they're doing their characters, and they're allowed to be themselves, and they're just having fun.
I was at DX in New York for the on-sale of Highway to Hell.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just having a good time. And you know what? And you can see they would go out and interact with the crowd. And even on their way to the ring, you see they're having a good time. They're fun. They're having fun being there.
Yeah.
And you know what? The crowd's having fun because they see those
guys.
Well,
you notice that. I mean...
It's all tied in. Remember Mick Foley talked about how one of the biggest pops he ever got was when they did Limpin' Ain't Easy.
Yeah, Shrimpin' Ain't Easy.
Shrimpin' Ain't Easy. Yeah, all that stuff in his book where the guys came down and they cut these promos trying to make each other laugh, and the guys started fucking breaking up and laughing in the ring.
Yeah.
And the crowd was just going laughing with them and just went nuts and gave them a standing ovation.
Yeah.
Again, we talk about the Margaritaville.
Yeah.
Steve Austin and The Rock. Again, they're having so much fun. We're having fun. We're just, you know, you just can't help it.
No, exactly.
And that's missing.
It's really missing. I mean, look at, it's like a Raw 1000 when DX was on and they were having fun.
They were having fun.
But, I mean, you know, like, and for the fact that I probably have the most hair here or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Know, they're just like, oh, fuck. But, I mean, they don't do that. When was the last after Raw? I mean, they've done these appreciation night things.
When The Rock was there. When The Rock came back, he had a couple after Raw things.
And the Survivor Series last year when The Rock, you know, and they're chanting Ryder, and he's like, oh, yeah, I love Zack Ryder, whatever.
He's tall. I always forget how tall he is.
Or The Rock hosted some after promos kind of thing.
For sure.
Again, just The Rock involved in that, right? No one else coming out. Remember when they used to do, like, the Taker Rooney? And the Vince Rooney.
Yeah.
That's probably when it ended.
Yeah.
You know, is about that time. It's that 2002 kind of era. But
it just doesn't seem like the guys are having fun. There's no sense of fun.
Doing a job. Pin me, pay me. Right? Yeah. And The Rock, that's it. Because nobody came out with The Rock.
No.
To join in on the festivities.
Didn't have to.
Well, but
he's just interacting with the people and having fun.
But it would have been nice.
It would have been nice.
You know,
yeah,
I would have loved if Zack Ryder had come down just to be involved.
Yeah, I suppose.
Right? Or,
this
or,
was a different
know.
Thing that it was his moment. So, but you're right. You're right.
Well, that was, I mean, that wasn't even his moment. That was like the
well,
Raw.
What about when
Raw,
when we were at that SmackDown taping a little bit over a year ago here, off the air, doesn't Triple H come out?
That was just to set up a match, though. That was just to set up the...
That's right, to set up Christian
the dark
versus...
match.
Yeah,
and that happens all the time on these TV tapings, is that, you know, Booker or Teddy Long or Vig...
Yeah, but Triple H comes out, gives somebody the pedigree, like Ryder, and just so people can
Well, that was in
move.
Between... Yeah, commercials. So he stopped doing that. But no, he'd come out just like, oh, I knew Calgary, love Bret Hart, or you know what I mean? It was just stupid, meandering bullshit. But it's not an entertaining goof-off moment.
It's just him again playing his role.
That's scripted again.
Yeah, it's just
him.
Yeah, he's just playing his role. He's not coming out and having fun with us. He's not relaxed, he's off-air and going, fuck it, I'm just going to say some things
and
have some fun.
Yeah, exactly, right?
It just doesn't happen.
No. And that's so it's missing. But, they enforce things, is one of the quotes they talked about, how enforce shit down people's throats.
Yeah, they talk about that. And meanwhile, they do that a lot. They are constantly forcing people or angles that I feel like they're forcing AJ down my throat.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah. No, forcing AJ down my throat, forcing, even to a certain degree, forcing Ryback
down
my
throat. That's right.
Sheamus got a lot of whats and such. I mean,
and that's because I think there's a sense that he's being forced down people's
throats.
Starting
to get a bit of a Sheamus backlash point. I don't personally feel it so much,
but I think it's there.
But it was at least there in wherever they were, Dayton, Ohio, or whatever, right? Maybe it was Frankie Williams leading that. Oh, that's Columbus, Ohio. Columbus, Ohio, Frankie Williams. I mean, speaking of AJ, what they don't do anymore either is dangerous stunts.
No. Well, and this is a good thing, that it's a safer product.
Yeah.
But the fact is that that's part of, you know what, they did stunts that were dangerous, but they did them as safely as possible.
Cunning stunts.
Well, cunning stunts. I think of the leg drop that Shane does off the Titantron onto a big
crash
show.
Pad. Yeah,
but it's onto a crash pad. But it looks spectacular. You talked about it when you left the pay per view. You know, I was at a theater with somebody. Watched that. I talked about it.
Yeah.
And those type of moments, they don't do them at all anymore. So you don't want to do them all the time. And you want to be smart and safe. You don't want to do what Foley did.
What was
the last
one that they did?
I think it would have been Jeff Hardy, the crash pad with Umaga outside.
Well, I was thinking it was with Randy Orton.
Oh, was it with Randy Orton?
To the Royal Rumble match there, Jeff Harvey.
Maybe they've probably done something with somebody being thrown off a stage into a crash pad or something in an injury angle.
Well, Zack Ryder.
But it wasn't really a spectacular stunt.
No.
It was just, they don't really do these. So
even that, it was he went off the thing and then the camera found him after,
exactly.
Right? I mean, they don't, yeah. But part of it, too, is the fact...
I do want them to be safer, but I also want them to try and create a few times a year those wow moments that we'll talk about.
Well,
they don't ever get
actually, I'll give you an idea
because,
of the last
those,
wow moment.
Those
the,
wow moments, but I'll just say, yeah. I mean, those wow moments are when you go, fuck, I wish I hadn't missed that. I would pay for that because I never know what's coming.
The last wow moment, actually, they had was fairly recently... And that was Extreme Rules.
And what was it?
The match.
Oh, the match itself.
John
it was a
Cena
wild moment.
And Brock Lesnar with
and
the blood.
I, they
and
tried
the,
to do it, I think, with the Hell in the Cell, with climbing to the top of the cell and the shell shock
but
on
again,
the top of the cell.
But
nobody talks about it.
Right?
It's just a stupid draft on. It's not really something spectacular.
No. That now, match, that Brock Lesnar-John Cena match was something to talk about.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was probably the
and
last
it wasn't even a dangerous stunt. It was just a match that was more physical and felt more real and different.
Yeah, it was a hard way, stiff type match. But that's okay. That's Foley got over doing a little bit of that too, right? I mean, and that's the thing that what you don't have right now are these guys that know how to do that.
No, you really don't.
And so that's a learned thing. But you're right. I mean,
Jeff
I don't...
Hardy, when Jeff Hardy has the tape and the Hardy Boys have the table match with the Dudley Boys, that night and off the top of the stage and go through the table,
yeah.
Again, it's a wow moment. Again, I don't want to see this much because I want them to be safe.
They did do it too much, yeah.
They did it too much. And we talked about, we saw, I think it was The Rock hit Ken Shamrock right square on the top of the forehead
mush,
with a brutal chair shot in this. I don't want to see that. But I do want to see an idea that they should try and create the occasional wow moment, the occasional stunt.
Well, the thing is it has to be, though, a spontaneous situation.
Has to be done right, yeah.
Like, I see Money in the Bank as one of those times that they could do that, right? What made the Cena Lesnar thing is that it came out of nowhere.
I don't
want to say that a Money in the Bank spot isn't spontaneous, but I expect something in that kind of match.
Yeah.
Coming into the TLC match, I expect Dolph Ziggler to steal the show, quote-unquote, bump like a motherfucker for John Cena in that match and do something stupid, right?
Yeah.
And going to get a moment out of it. Ricardo had the moment last year's TLC when they tipped the ladder straight back and he went through the table there.
Yeah.
They do have them on occasion. It's just they don't. And that's the other part.
I think these are ones we've seen a million times.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
There's nothing new that we haven't.
You need something new.
You need something new. You need the occasional. You need to occasionally come up with a new.
And I don't quite know what new is.
I don't know,
but
it exists.
It does. Something's got to happen, right? So.
Yeah.
But so that's the other thing that they hot-shotting.
Yes. They talked about how everything had a long-term storyline that was played out. And that didn't just mean, like, right now we have a long-term storyline.
We have one. Yeah.
And the only reason that that exists is because John Cena wanted to face they had set up John Cena versus CM Punk at Royal Rumble. If they don't set that up, CM Punk doesn't still have the belt this long. They don't have that long-term storyline.
Well, The Rock agreed to win the title at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't do that, you're right. Then it's fought a million different times. And who is it?
Even then, they almost fucking hotshot it into Ryback.
And who is the catalyst for this?
Mm-hmm.
The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Again, the same with the whole one-year build for Cena. The Rock says, yes, I will do this. The Rock, the guy that understands and come from this era.
Mm-hmm.
Is the one that's sort of driving that ticket, right?
So, I mean, back then you had multiple storylines that were plotted out several months in advance.
Yes.
And not that they didn't do some hot-shotting week in, week out with belts and with different things to change the occasional things. The point is, though, that they wouldn't let it deter from the long-term storyline unless something else took off.
And the main things, the main things were not moving around all the time. I mean, if Crash and Bob Holly's story had to get a little bit changed because of some reason, that's fine. But they didn't change, the corporate ministry angle.
No, absolutely didn't. No.
Based off of the plan, right?
No.
So everybody kind of had their own.
It's going to be Austin versus The Rock at WrestleMania. Doesn't matter if Mick Foley's getting involved, Rick Foley's getting over. They thought about making a three-way, and then they said, no way, this wasn't our plan.
No, this is the plan, and we can deal with
it. And now they hotshot, now they can't decide. Now, even Michael Hayes said this in the roundtable, you guys don't understand until literally minutes before we go on air now, especially in this era, things are being changed backstage.
Yes, tweaked and made better was the politically correct statement that
he used. Which is bullshit, honestly.
Yes, I know, but...
But that's it, though. I mean, this is what we're talking about. They need more long-term storylines for a lot of characters.
For a lot of characters, and that leads us to the undercard angles, and it's something that I talked about months ago.
Yeah.
And it was everybody had a story, right? And that's, not everybody, but a lot. There were a lot of stories. Every segment... I mean, back before it was 3 hours and Raw was 11 segments, there were 11 sort of things going on. Or, Austin might be in three of those segments. Mm-hmm.
They might find out a way to put it together. Yeah, they might find a way to work a couple angles in at the same time.
But, I mean, like you said, Bob Holly would have his deal, and you'd have the hardcore deal, and you'd have the Intercontinental deal, and, all that stuff,
right? Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly. All the undercard storylines, undercard feuds, undercard, we talked about it before. That was something that existed. I mean, and the something existed in the 80s when they were over. It absolutely still existed in the Attitude Era. The Godfather had a feud with somebody. Now, it wasn't main event, but he had a feud with somebody.
Yeah.
at the same time as Triple H had a feud with somebody in the main event.
Well, yeah.
It just was.
That's right. And so it just, that's in Val Venus, and it all happened. And yeah. Look at the Heart, the Highway to Hell SummerSlam, right? Mm-hmm. Everything had something.
Exactly.
Input from the talent.
They said this.
Yes.
They said that the talent would come to them with storylines and lay things out for a while, and if they liked it, they would work with it, and they would take it, and they would tweak it, and come back to them, and there was give and take between the talent and the creative side. The talent, they would come back to the talent, and the talent would give them their insight, and back and forth, and the creative people would still make the final decisions,
but they
would listen to the talent, and the talent, they would continue to respect the talent's opinion,
yeah.
and to work with them. They talked about how they did this.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Don't do this.
No, but you know, the thing is, too, is that you have to think when talking about the Attitude Era, and again, it was very respectful without coming out and saying Vince Russo.
Yeah, it was.
Of the creative team, they said, right, is how they sort of...
I think that they did say one of the things, I think it was Big Show who said it, dropping an F-bomb in between, talking about how it was cutthroat. If you were out there and you fucked up, the other guys in the back were loving it because that meant that they had a chance to get on ahead of you next week.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, no, yeah. And it was it was competitive. He thinks, you know, try this, do this, rah, rah kind of atmosphere. He's like, no, it was cutthroat.
Yeah. But the truth is, though, that they would work with the talent.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we've heard it many times, guys complaining that they've been told, we have nothing for you, and they're sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah, creative.
Or guys coming to the creative, and the creative telling them to stop calling us.
Stevie.
Yeah, Stevie. Or guys who are sitting there and they say we have nothing for you, and they give them something, they say, well, we still have nothing for you.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I just fucking gave you something. Is there anything there?
Yeah.
Or even guys who are former writers talking about they presented this, this, and this, and this was good,
and they
couldn't even get it on the fucking air themselves.
And all
they're lucky to get a couple segments on.
At all. If at all, there's writers that never had anything. They just worked on promos, right? They never had an idea that they created get on TV.
No, and they had ideas, but they couldn't even... The writers can't get their ideas on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
How the fuck are the wrestlers supposed to?
Well, that's just it, right? So
you really want me to be more involved. You want me to give a shit. You want me to give my best effort. You want me to show myself in the character... You want me to get over it. It's not your responsibility to get me over. It's my responsibility to get myself over. You want me to work hard. You want me to be on time. You want me to be dedicated. You want me to do everything. And when I give you something saying that I care, you're going to throw it aside because you don't give a shit. And that's what they're saying to the guys right now. Again, coming back to a broken record, but what the hell. Zack Ryder. I don't know how many ideas Zack Ryder threw at them before he started doing the YouTube show. I'm guessing quite a few. Then they wouldn't take any of them. So he starts doing the YouTube show. That's fine. Finally, it forces them to put him on the air. I guarantee you he's still going with them on ideas, and they wouldn't do it. You know what? Instead, they said they just don't give a shit. So how are the guys going to possibly really, really work hard and give a shit and feel like they can go anywhere? And feel like they can get rewarded and have those seven-figure years like a Road Dogg had as a mid-carder?
Yes.
If the attitude is, we're not going to let you creatively be involved at all.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, I've heard, there's been a couple tweets out, you know, like, Z Holly, True Hollywood Story this week is going to be great. And then you're going to do, never mind, I got to redo it.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, and because now it's not his show, it's on the WWE.com, so they've taken it over, right?
Exactly.
So, that's it. But, I mean, it all comes down to freedom of expression.
Yeah, and this is both in the wrestlers, but this is also largely in the fans.
Yeah.
The fans were able to show up, and if there's somebody they wanted to boo, they booed them. And if there's somebody they wanted to cheer, they cheered them and turned them face.
Yeah.
They still do that, but they try and lead you into who you want to cheer, more so than they were doing then.
Back to down your throat.
Yeah, exactly. Back to the down your throat thing.
Yeah.
Or same thing, how many times do they take signs now? You used to go to that arena, and I swear to God, there was times they would pan through the crowd at the beginning of Raw, and felt like 80 to 85% of that crowd had to sign up.
Oh, God,
It was fucking crazy, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And now, you know what? If you show up and it's a sign they don't like, they pull it away. If you have a t-shirt on they don't like, they can kick you out. If you chant something they don't like,
yeah.
they'll ask you to stop.
They do
everything. The freedom of expression. The fans aren't allowed their freedom of expression.
My buddy Phil, I know, and this is for legal purposes, but he had one of those old WrestleMania X7 baseball jerseys
mm-hmm.
that said WWF.
Mm-hmm.
on it, and this is back when they were doing the thing, and he's sitting in the front row for Raw.
Yeah.
And they're like, you could have a shirt, they were trying to give him like a Batista t-shirt to wear or whatever, like something, but to cover up his WWF.
But a fan
logo.
Is wearing it. They have the right to wear whatever they want, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, oh yeah, he said no, and I mean, they kept trying or whatever, and I don't think he did. I think he finally, they gave him a shirt that he wanted. So he
well, again, I remember them taking being at a show. This was years ago. Stacy Keibler was up, and the line, and the guy wrote down, and you had this too, and you actually got it on safe. But this guy at SmackDown had the sign that said, "Stacy Keibler can't wrestle, but I'd like to see her box."
Yeah, I did it with Trish Stratus, but it was a pay per view in Edmonton.
Yeah, yeah, and the guy did it at SmackDown taping here. The one where this was, you know, where Angle and Edge were in the cage at the end of the main event, and also had
The
Undertaker and Randy Orton, where they fucked up like three times the finish and had to redo it.
Roll of the dice.
And you were drunk that night. You were there. I was back in the period when I wasn't talking to you.
I was drunk, and my signs were very crude.
Yeah, I bet. But they took the sign from this person. And then a few weeks later, probably about 6 weeks later, I remember the exact same line with the exact same person being used by
Jerry Lawler
in there.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's freedom of expression. It's bullshit. And they're worse than ever. They take signs. If you show up with a sign saying something like, "Cena, go away, Cena," you're not allowed to put
it
on screen.
We've seen enough.
That will be taken away. Are you fucking kidding me? I paid my money and I'm not allowed to boo this guy?
Yeah.
You know what?
Well, you're allowed
bullshit.
To boo him, but you're not allowed to express it any more than that. And yeah, no, and I know. It's stupid. It's retarded. And
it's also freedom of expression in the guys. And you know, in a lot of ways, like in their interviews, they can't go in an interview and just talk anymore. They go in an interview, they have a WWE representative on the line with them to make sure they don't say anything stupid or say anything
that's a good thing. But
in some cases that's a good thing, but in some cases it's a lot of bullshit.
But you look at the other guy. I mean, look at CM Punk, right? And CM Punk's the opposite of that. He doesn't care. He'll just say.
I mean,
you look at the thing with the he's going to be on that AMC vampire.
Yeah, the Talking Dead show.
Talking Dead show.
After Walking
and
Dead.
And he's the Grand Marshal today at the Chicago parade, right?
Yeah.
And neither one was promoted, and he was pissed.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, before I go over somebody's head.
Let's go back to TNA.
He's like, I hustle and I get these gigs myself.
Yeah, well,
and WWE didn't give these to me.
No, exactly. I hustle and get these gigs. Go back to TNA. Eric Young gets a television show.
Yeah.
A fishing show. It does very, very well.
Yeah.
Is the reaction, hey, that's great. We have a guy who's getting well known.
Exactly.
No, the reaction is, hey, fuck it. You, Eric Young, we didn't get you this. You know what? When it's time for you to sign your contract again, we're not going to re-sign you, and we're not going to promote this or do anything or put you on TV. You're done with, as far as we're concerned. And it's a jealousy, or it's just stupidity, or short-sightedness, or whatever it is. But it's not just in WWE. That's a fine example of how it exists in TNA as well. But WWE does it all the time. I mean, this is why Jericho is always leaving. Because Jericho right now is going to be on...
what's that show?
I think it's on Sci-Fi Network. It's a battle bots type show, right?
Like
Robot Jocks or whatever. I don't know, something like that. And
he's
the host. He got that himself. Guess what? Downfall, I think it was called. He got himself. They didn't fucking promote it at all.
Wipeout or whatever.
I think it was Downfall, but
yeah, it could be. Yeah, that game show, like Dancing with the Stars. That's why he was off on Dancing with the Stars. He was going to be on Dancing with the Stars, you know, earlier. They wanted him, but
exactly. So I mean, it all comes back to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got?
That's it. That's the don't buy the Attitude Era DVD.
All right, fuck. We're going to 90 minutes, and we still have something else left to talk about. We still got time to do it?
Sure.
All right, let's go. Last week we did these guys, certain guys, we played a game where you said to me, best opponent.
Yes, greatest opponent.
Greatest opponent. So we're going to do not greatest opponent. Worst opponent for these same guys. And, you know, I was thinking about it because we were talking about Punk's greatest opponent.
Yes.
And I was like, that's one of the problems, isn't it? Is when we talk about Punk's greatest opponent, it's not like back in the day where we talk about Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels or
Owen.
Or
Brent Owen, you know.
Bret Owen, right? Or
Bret and Davey Boy.
Yeah, well even Ric Flair versus Steamboat, Ric Flair versus Dusty, you know, even Hogan versus Savage. The epic battles don't exist. When we're sitting there with CM Punk, we're like, well, sort of Cena. Maybe Rey Mysterio. Yeah, it's probably Rey Mysterio. That's not the same.
Jose Estrada and Special Delivery Jones.
If you say so. Yeah. But just those grand, epic rivalries, they don't exist now. And that's really one of the things. That's one of the things that CM Punk is really missing. That's one of the things that John Cena could have with The Rock. He doesn't have it yet. That's something even John Cena, we talked about his best opponent is Edge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, in the history of the business, Edge is not the same level as some of those other guys we mentioned. So it's not the same.
No, and Rock and Cena won't ever have that with Rock.
Probably
think.
Not. I mean, no.
And
it's something that's really lacking, that epic rivalry
mm-hmm.
that you'll talk about. There's something else that
Rock
these guys
Austin,
don't have that.
Yeah.
That Rock Austin.
Rock talked a bit about it, right?
Yeah,
it
exactly.
One of the greatest rivalries ever, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, yeah.
Well,
I mean,
let's see if
I mean, what is, I mean, when you think of Muhammad Ali, you might think of a lot of things, but I guarantee one thing people think of right at the top of the list is Ali Frazier, right?
Smoking Joe Frazier.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That really means something. And so CM Punk doesn't have that. John Cena doesn't even have that. That's really hurting us in this day. So
I just wanted to say they can have each other.
But you know, it won't ever. It doesn't feel like it ever be that way.
No.
They don't know how to build it special, and part of it is because we see it too often. And then sometimes with Cena and Brock, we might see it too few.
Yeah,
it's really tough to find the balance in this day and age. So, anyways, let's move on to worst opponents. So,
worst opponent for Hulk Hogan.
Oh, Hulk Hogan had some shitty opponents.
He really did.
Hulk Hogan's worst opponent.
I guess if we're talking worst. Sort of multiple match opponent, right? Maybe
worst major opponent.
Yeah.
And again, it's personal preference. So for me, it's the Butcher. For me, it's Bruce Beefcake.
Yeah.
That felt completely flat. It was bad matches. Nobody gave a shit. Felt forced. Felt like Hogan was giving his buddy a spot. For me, the
Not
Butcher.
Not a liver spot.
For
Not
me,
a dog spot.
For me, Brutus Beefcake, the Butcher, the man with no name, the Buddy Man, the whatever, fur face. Him and Hogan, to me, that is Hogan's worst opponent. But Hogan has a lot of shitty opponents.
Yeah. I was going to go with the one-man gang.
Yeah, the one-man gang was the first guy I actually thought of.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it wasn't on a pay-per-view or a big, you know.
That's
it was
true.
Bad.
It was bad.
It was a house show thing.
Yeah.
It was multiple matches.
It was
multiple
matches. It was on the loop.
And one-man gang actually was a good worker, but not as bad probably as we think either. So.
Not by today's standards.
Brodus
Clay.
Put it that way.
Ric Flair.
Ric Flair's worst opponent. Giant Gonzalez.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say. El Gigante or whatnot.
El Gigante. That he couldn't put that together.
No.
I don't know who could. I mean, that's probably Undertaker's worst opponent as well. Actually, I don't know if it's that, now that I think about it. There's some bad ones. For Ric Flair, I would say Elegante.
Yeah, that was who I was going to go with. I couldn't really think. I mean, he was usually in some pretty good series of matches.
Yeah, absolutely.
Flair, right?
Absolutely.
So it's very difficult to kind of get, even in WWE, I mean, he fought Carlito a few times.
Exactly. Get that match with the Big Show on ECW, and it rocks, right? It's not just big men that he couldn't work with, but Elegante was just, there was nothing to go with there.
Nothing.
It was a bad matchup all around.
It was, yeah. How about the Macho Man?
Ooh, Macho Man.
I already know the answer.
You know the answer?
I feel like there's a right answer, yes, yeah, so there is, I think, actually.
You actually think there's a right answer for the Macho
right
Man?
For the Macho Man.
Oh, man. You know what? The problem I have with Macho Man is there's a lot of times when he worked with somebody and I thought it was great,
mm-hmm.
and he went back to work with them the next time I was expecting it to be great, and it wasn't.
Well, there was one where it was consistently not great.
Well, I was going to go with Lex Luger. I think I'll go with Lex Luger.
I'm going to go with Crush, Brian Adams.
Oh, God, that was shit.
Yes.
That was utter shit.
Every time.
That was utter shit. That was rock grunt.
Yeah.
That was really bad.
We have a right answer.
But that is probably the right answer. But I'd say his work with Lex Luger is also pretty good.
They never had good
chemistry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. John Cena.
John Cena's worst opponent.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, not the Great Khali. You know.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, they actually had surprisingly good.
That's matches. Right. Yeah, that Extreme Rules match.
Yes, that's not bad, actually. That's right after Umaga.
Yeah.
Kind of doing something right with him there. John Cena. I'm trying to think of who. JBL. I go JBL.
He had I don't think it led to a pay-per-view. It may have been part of the Elimination Chamber at one point, but all I know is this guy, I talked to him earlier, and he told me that it wasn't his fault. And that would be Snitsky.
Snitsky. Okay. I'm like, who the fuck are you talking about? That's a catchphrase that obviously didn't work.
Did not take off.
Not a lot of t-shirts sold.
No.
I still will say JBL. I just think higher profile, multiple matches.
True higher profile.
Really not good stuff.
Yeah.
Just didn't work.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Ooh, Bret Hart's worst opponent.
Not Tom McGee.
No. Well, I'm not allowed to use Tom McGee.
No, that's... Not
I guess that is kind of cheating because it's a one match that nobody ever saw.
Exactly.
and I mean, nobody ever saw. Who did he not work well with?
Others.
Bret Hart has. I mean, of course, Bret Hart. If you can have a good match with a broomstick, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, there's guys that he worked one match I remember seeing with the Warlord, but it's only one match, but it was not very good.
El Dandy.
Yeah. I don't remember him actually working with El Dandy.
No, I never.
I'm going to say, I think Sting. I waited years for him and Sting to get together. I was expecting some great stuff, and when the time finally came, it just really disappointed me.
I was going to say the same with Goldberg.
I don't feel like they ever got a full chance to
it's
work.
It's true. Sting's probably a better answer, actually.
Yeah, I go with Sting.
That's good, Shawn Michaels.
Oh, the boy toy. Shawn Michaels. I'm going to go to Tonka.
Tadalatalonka.
WrestleMania 9. That's probably still the best match in the show.
Yes, it is.
And it's a 1.5-star match. It's his worst WrestleMania performance. It was just no good. It was a young Shawn Michaels still learning his way through. He wasn't the great guy yet, and nothing special. I go to Tonka.
I'm going to say Batista. I didn't like anything they did.
No, he and Batista didn't work well together.
No. So I was going to go with Batista.
Yeah, Batista's definitely up there.
Batista
for sure.
And Tonka. We should have that match.
Probably turn out great and we won't know it.
Yeah, exactly. Steve Austin's worst opponent.
Steve Austin's worst opponent. That's interesting, actually, because I'm trying to think of what shit the bed with Steve Austin, and really, even in WCW, I have a lot of trouble.
Yeah,
thinking about what shit the bed, you know. Generally, everything was good. I'll let you go if you have one, because I'm still struggling to think of what's worth the bed. Oh yeah. You're right.
Jim Duggan, yeah.
Jim Duggan, when he came out and Hulk
lost
Hogan's
the
friend.
US. Yeah, friends of Hogan, right?
And it's just his worst opponent. It was not good. It was not...
He couldn't regain the title back from him. It was just,
Yeah, no, it was pretty fucking bad.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one. If you have to stick to WWE, though, WWF, WWE, I mean, who are you going to go with them?
You know, in WWE,
You know who I'm going to say? Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, based on their horrible WrestleMania.
Yeah, Scott Hall. I was going to say Goldust.
Yeah.
You know, I just never really liked what they did in WWF. You know, Dust and Stunning Steve might have done something in WCW.
Well, the 316 Crapper was pretty funny.
Yeah.
But no, they weren't very good.
Yeah.
I'll stick with Scott Hall, but I think that's a good one too.
Yeah. The Rock.
The Rock's worst opponent. I'm going to say Goldberg.
Goldberg?
They only had the one match, but let me tell you, that wasn't a good match. And the reason that match was scripted move for maximum drama and felt like a match where the guys were performing a move for move maximum drama stage play.
Yeah.
And it just did not work. And part of it also was that they did nothing really to build up Goldberg. So they just put him in there, and it didn't work.
No.
Well, I think Goldberg's actually The Rock's worst opponent, if I'm to go with it.
Yeah, I never liked anything The Rock and the Big Red Retard did.
No. No, yeah. That was not particular. Or you know what? And speaking of which, The Big Show also was not
very
good.
Yeah, I'm thinking they didn't really have good chemistry.
So.
No. So.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Sting. Can you say Bret Hart?
No, I don't think I would. Sting's is, again, that's interesting. You know, I mean, again, it comes, it's like, I was trying to think of him in TNA here recently even.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be some.
There should be something bad in TNA, yeah.
Well, actually, I'm going to say his guy in TNA and WCW, and it's not, it's Hulk Hogan.
Mm.
That's his worst opponent. Like,
yeah.
You know what? Not even just talking. I guess their last match of Bound for Glory was better than you would have expected. Because it was a 3-star match, and that's with, not this year's Bound for Glory.
The year previous.
Better than you would have expected, crowd, especially considering they couldn't move in the hot crowd. But truthfully, those guys just were awkward together.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they did was awkward together for me.
So yeah.
I think Hulk Hogan.
I was going to say Sid.
He and Sid weren't very good. That was not very good.
No, actually, I might even say Sid for this next guy. Goldberg.
Ah, ha, ha, ha. Goldberg.
The Millennium Man against Goldberg, I thought.
Jerry Flynn.
Lightning.
Lightning, Jerry Flynn. One of the other, along with Steve Regal, who at least I like and respect, though he was high out of his mind in the match against Goldberg. But Jerry Flynn's another guy who wasn't supposed to give him, he wasn't supposed to have any offense at Goldberg.
Yeah.
And instead had more, you know, wanted to show off and had more realistic matches and whatever.
That's true.
It was really shitty.
It was.
Yeah.
So, okay. DDP?
DDP is worst opponent. The Undertaker? How do you not go Undertaker?
Well, I was going to go with the Booty Man.
Yeah. That was shit.
For the Booty Babe.
That was utter shit.
Yeah.
But how do you not go Undertaker? Undertaker wouldn't let him get any offense.
That's the thing,
not going to let this WCW guy come in here and get any offense on me.
Yeah.
Forget about telling a good story or selling out arenas or giving good matches.
Yeah.
Right now we're going to bury WCW even though they're out of business. This guy's working with
even though we own them, yes.
Yeah.
Undertaker, okay. CM Punk?
Whew, CM Punk. CM Punk's worst opponent. That's tough because he's had some like awkward moments with a lot of guys, and a lot of it has been his fault.
Take right out of his mouth from his documentary.
Yeah,
and I said, oh yeah, is John Morrison.
Yeah, that should have been better.
Yeah, for that ECW title. He said they had, like, one match that clicked, but everything else was crap.
That should have been much better, yeah.
Yeah.
And I really was thinking about his ECW stuff. But you know what? I never thought that he had a good match. I'm not going to go him, even though it could be. I'm going to go Chris Jericho because they never delivered the match that I expected.
Yeah, that's
right. So it's not that they were as bad as, like, you know, but if you gave me a 3-star match or a 2 3/4 star match,
yeah,
and I'm expecting 4 4 1/4, and you never rise above that,
yeah, you're disappointed.
Then that's your worst opponent.
Then it's like hate, right?
Yeah.
You have to rise above it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
How about The Undertaker? This is an interesting one.
Undertaker's worst opponent. Obviously, we threw out Giant Gonzalez already.
We did,
And that's an easy one. Great Khali, obviously, utter shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Kane, though.
All
right. I think so.
I'm.
Again, where's their best match? Their best match is probably at SummerSlam 1999 when Kane had his mask pulled off for the first time.
Right.
And that was a 2-star match.
Yes.
The Inferno match was fascinating first time.
Yeah.
But it's not a good match. But those guys just never had anything.
I'm going to go with King Mabel.
Oh, that was shit. Well, actually, you know what? That's worse. That's worse. When he had to wear the Phantom of the Opera bullshit.
Yes.
Oh, that was utter, utter crap.
That was awful.
Utter crap.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So. Actually, that's a good choice. King Mabel.
How about Kane's worst opponent?
Kane's worst opponent.
You know what I think Kane's worst opponent is?
I think it's Big Show.
I think it's Kane.
Yeah. Luke Gallows. Actually, you know what? I'm changing it to Under Faker. I'm changing Undertaker to Under Faker.
Oh, there you go. Yes, Undertaker's first opponent was himself. Yeah.
Oh, that was so fucking bad.
He was bad.
Actually is nothing. Nothing like that. Yeah. Oh, that's beyond belief. Actually, you know what? I'm gonna change it again. Kama. Oh fuck, were his matches with Kama awful.
What about Bundy?
Yeah, that was bad.
Oh,
that was so bad.
I mean, there's Gonzalez, there's, you know, there's Bundy, there's, you know,
I'm still gonna go Under Faker.
Mr. Hughes. You know, they just had so many.
Yeah. No. Oh, what about the time he took on Chronic by himself?
Oh,
oh my god!
No, that wasn't by himself. That was Kane and Undertaker.
Oh, you're right.
Chronic and tag
match. That was just horrible.
It was like the worst match of the year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got him fired. Got Chronic fired after that.
Yeah, he was buddies with Brian Adams, and I don't think he knew Brian Clark very well, but he was buddies with Brian Adams.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
I'm sure he knew Brian Clark, because
they
would have been around. But.
I think they kept Brian Adams around to just to go to Heartland afterwards to help with Les Thatcher with training and such.
Yeah.
But Kane, the correct answer
because
is...
because he used to use the heart punch.
That's, see, there you go, Heartland. Kane's correct answer is the Big Show, though. That is the correct answer, right?
that's the sales guys are being awful every fucking time.
How about Chris Jericho?
Chris Jericho's worst opponent. That's, again, not so easy because I'm not thinking of a lot of times where, and again, it's easy to say CM Punk since I already went there.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be fresh. I'm going to throw that one out.
Okay.
Not include that. So that's, again, kind of where I would go off the top of my head. Chris Jericho, Y2J, China.
It's a very good one, China.
China.
I was going to go with Das Wunderkind.
Yeah, that was shit. That was Rock God as well. That was utter shit. But come on, China.
Yeah. China.
For the intercontinental belt.
China is the right answer.
Yes, China. Yes. That's just, oh.
Speaking
so
of China, Eddie Guerrero's worst opponent.
Oh, fuck. Eddie Guerrero's worst opponent. Again, easy to go JBL, because I just don't. In fact, I'd go JBL.
Are you gonna go JBL?
I mean, he lost the title to him, and then they had that bloodbath the next month. And I mean, this was the bloodiest match. Like, they did he tried to create drama by going too far, but it wasn't like they didn't have the chemistry.
I have four words for you.
Okay.
I'm an ass man.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, that was utter shit.
Yes, yes.
I mean, that was utter shit.
Oh, yeah.
We should have saved this for the April Fool's
fucking
show.
I know,
that's
making right?
utter shit.
How about Big Dave Batista?
Big Dave Batista's worst opponent. Huh. Big Dave Batista, like his best was Undertaker. That wouldn't be John Cena, I don't think. You know, I mean, Shawn Michaels, you mentioned when you talked about Shawn Michaels' wars.
Yeah.
So there was that. You know what? I'm going to say Big Show. I don't think they ever worked well together.
Changed the channel on
ECW. I think Big Show and him were never good together.
Big Show is that's a good choice.
Big Show's showing up quite a bit here, actually.
He is. What's CM Punk?
Where did him?
Did they have Batista and Punk? Did they have more than? Did they have a return match there? No, they never did. So,
no, I don't think they ever really did. No.
So, yeah, it's okay. So I'll be Big Show. Yeah.
Did we ever get CM Punk versus Edge?
Not really, no.
Yeah?
No.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is.
What else we got?
Davey Boy Smith.
Davey Boy Smith's worst opponent. The Ken Shamrock dog food match was shit.
He's a dog food match, yeah.
Yeah, that was shit. That was Russo at his worst early on. But when he came back, he was in the sixth man. Who was it he took on the next month that he had a solo match right before he went back to the hospital and he was
it Val Venus?
I thought it was one of the guys. No, it wasn't Rock. I thought it was one of the guys in, like, because he was part of, like, wasn't he part of that six pack match or that?
That six pack challenge.
And I remember he had an awful match shortly after on pay per view near the end of his.
Yeah.
It might have actually been his last pay per view match.
Yeah.
But I just can't recall who it was.
Hmm. Test?
No. Other than that, he had. You know what? You know who's probably the worst? I'll actually say this guy is actually even worse, no matter who this other guy was, and this was bad. But Rick Bogner, the other Razor Ramon.
Oh, yes.
That's his worst opponent. Holy fuck.
Yeah, that was bad.
Bad.
That was bad. That probably, yes. That's bad. I was going to say Sid.
Oh, Sid was bad.
The WCW when they're powerbomb against,
Cheat
him the Midget and such.
Yeah. Utter
awesome.
Crap. Utter.
Yeah.
Utter crap.
Speaking of utter crap.
Yeah.
Hunter.
Oh, Hunter's worst opponent. Taka mentioned it? No.
Yeah.
actually, that was better than I expected. His worst opponent, who did he just not have chemistry with is a good question. There's a few guys, but he and Big Show again never had anything good.
When he broke, when he did the handbreaking
thing.
Right?
That was probably about 2004, 2005.
Something like that. Yeah, Royal
Rumble,
was
good.
I think.
That was good.
Yeah.
You're right, that was good. Chris Jericho, no, they had that great match. They had a couple great matches.
They had a couple Hell in the Cell.
And then they had that
yeah.
horrible main event at WrestleMania, so I just can't count it, though, because they had some good stuff in between there.
Can I give you a hint?
Okay.
When I was a little bit of a boy, maybe, I cut my teeth with a bit old tree, and I bowled my top. My first meal was a man she killed. My first meal was a man she killed.
Henry O. Godwin?
Henry O. Godwin.
I like the slop match. I think that was,
you're the one.
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good match. I think that's not bad. So, I don't.
Time to take out the trash.
Yeah, I'm not gonna put that in there. I'm not gonna put that in there.
He's higher up on the card. You mean?
He and Kane never. Oh, you know what? I got
Katie Vick.
Nope, Booker T.
Booker T. Yeah. Well, those guys can't have good matches.
No, seriously, their WrestleMania match was no good, and any other time they faced each other, no good. They just,
that's
he
true.
Just
you
that
know
was
good,
never good.
You no know good. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I got Booker T.
There you go. Okay, that's good. The rowdy one, Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper's worst opponent. Well, Kevin Nash never sold for him.
That's true.
So that's no good. Roddy Piper's worst opponent. I gotta say it. You know what? I hate that. I wish I didn't have to, but it is. It's Booker T, or not Booker T, Mr. T. Sorry, sucker. I pity the fool, sucker.
I was gonna say Bad News Brown.
That was shit.
Yes.
WrestleMania when he shows up, fucking in half blackface. Oh my God, that's utter shit.
Yeah.
You know what? That's probably even worse. And that match again went to a no contest.
It did. And I mean, and that was with a worker, right? I mean, you say Booker T, but I mean, you know, it's...
say what you will about Booker T or about Mr. T, it's still just You know what? And you know who else? Yeah, that's no, nobody else. he that was awful.
Yeah.
Oh, bad news.
Bad news. What about Jake Roberts?
Jake Roberts' worst opponent for me is the Ted DiBiase. I they were awful, and that said, I don't think his matches with Rick Rude were ever particularly good. Disappointed me. DiBiase and him, I think, had two similar styles, so I think that worked against each other. But you know what? All those guys, the one, I mean, is anything worse than the blindfold match?
But
with
Ricky
Martel,
yeah.
So, I mean, those guys go to the top of my list. I probably go with Ricky Martel because that's the worst match.
That's who I was
then again, and I can't think of a good one in between.
Yeah. No, I was going to say Rick Martel. Was kind
Blindfold matches, don't fucking do them.
No, I know.
Never a good fucking idea.
No. Ted DiBiase. There you go.
Ted DiBiase's worst opponent, Virgil.
Virgil? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
That was awful.
That's kind of easy. Yeah, Virgil.
Yeah. I sh- showed somebody at work today because we were talking about the Comic-Con. DiBiase was there because he asked me again. They said, did DiBiase give you an interview?
Yeah.
Like, no. He was a dick.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't give us one. And he goes, I said, I could have talked to Virgil. He goes, oh, did you talk to Virgil? I go, no, nobody did.
No, I could have, though.
And then he goes, oh, he's not very popular. So I put on the video on YouTube, the All By Myself video. I'm like, this is Virgil's life. And he's like, that sad, poor, pathetic man. Yeah. How does he keep getting booked for these things? I said, because Ted DiBiase says, you don't get me if you don't bring him.
Yeah.
So, oh, it's just awful.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm making this mess for you to clean up later.
I don't know either. I don't know why I won't clean it up either. here's a tough one. The Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior's worst opponent. Can it be Hulk Hogan and best and worst at the same time?
Yeah.
Ultimate Warrior's worst opponent. Oh, Sid was so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, Sid was so bad. Really.
Hercules was bad.
Yeah, Hercules was... What are you talking about? What about when they snapped the chain?
The 15-foot chain, the Warrior snapped it?
Yeah. No, that's... I gotta go Sid.
Hercules had to hold it for the Warrior to break it.
Yeah. I gotta go Sid. But that's... It's like trying... Like, if you had to reach in for a diamond in a pile of crap,
mm-hmm.
It's not worth it. That's what looking at the Warriors
history
of matches is. Yeah.
That's true. Okay, let's move on to Ravishing Rick Rude.
Ravishing Rick Rude's worst opponent. I didn't think he and Barry Windham had very good matches together. That surprised me. Just based on a bit disappointment level.
I thought a lot of his WCW stuff was really good. You know what?
That was just the one that disappointed me. I expected more.
I will say, Hawk.
Yeah.
Road Warrior Hawk.
Yeah, that's not very good. You're right.
Whatever that is, that 92, 93, whatever, love time, yeah.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty good choice, actually. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I didn't think he had Robert's matches actually held up to the angles. So we'll
that's
say that.
Yeah, there is that too.
Yeah.
Vader. Vader's actually the last one on the list. Vader.
Vader's worst opponent. Well, I'm going to go for the Masters of the Powerbomb. Him and Sid again. Awful.
Against each other?
Yeah. They took on each other, didn't they?
Did they? No, they were supposed to.
Oh, did it never happen? Then, are you sure?
Yeah,
I'm
because
sure
that
happened.
Was supposed to be Starrcade.
No, I'm
and
sure
then,
it happened.
And then,
I have that match in my head. Maybe it's just an angle before.
Sid decided to stab Arn Anderson.
Maybe it's an angle they shot ahead at Han that I have in my head.
And
I just assumed it would have been shit.
It caused the Vader Ric Flair.
That's right. That's when. Well, you're right. Yeah, that's
because this
when,
was back in the day where.
That's right, when they were going to put the belt on Sid.
The cable magazines used to come out for the pay-per-view or the movie channels and stuff for the next month, and they always had WWF
They
and
were
WC.
Tag team partners for the Masters of the Powerbomb.
Yes.
Are you sure they never wrestled?
No, but not in that run.
Okay.
They may have had a match against each other at some point, even in WWF, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they would have in WWF.
Yes, they definitely did in WWF, because then that's how they had the number one contenders match for Sid to beat Vader to go on
that's
and win
right.
the title.
That was
terrible. At the Survivor
Series. Yeah.
At an in-your-house.
That's right.
In-your-house.
That was bad.
Yeah.
So, there was that. I still think, yeah, I knew I'd seen them.
I'm going to say Kane.
Kane was bad. He and Yokozuna were bad.
Yeah. Jake Roberts.
Yeah.
Ahmed Johnson.
Oh, Ahmed Johnson was bad with everybody.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it was a safe bet.
Yeah.
Also, CM Punk's worst opponent.
Yeah.
Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah. Some shit there. For sure. Stan Hansen, because he took out his fucking eyeball.
That was awesome. But that ends the list.
All right. Well, then.
That probably ends the show, then.
That ends the fucking show. I know. 2 hours. I'm Mo. M-O at WeTalkPodcast.com. To catch me, M-O @_WeTalk.
True.
That's my Twitter handle.
That's
as
totally
they call
it,
as the kids say. We're on Stitcher.
Also, we're on Stitcher.
Yeah.
Also, we're on iTunes.
That's right, on iTunes. We're still sitting at the same number 6 spot, so we think we do a good show, and if you enjoy it, please feel free and rate us or like us or star us or whatever the hell you do there. Write a comment.
Too.
Yeah, you can like it. We're on Facebook. You can like us there. And
yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. Just show a little support, and that's greatly appreciated.
Yeah. I'm @Addie, @WeTalkWrestling.com, @WeTalkWrestling on Twitter, and the website, WeTalkWrestling.com.
That one's complicated.
Totally.
The sister site, WeTalkPodcast. There you go.
Yeah.
Find us there, too.
Or actually, brother.
Really? Yeah. Brother site?
Brother.
No? Yeah, well, I guess it is a wrestling show.
It could be our pal site.
It could be our pal site?
Yeah.
I like it.
Pal.
I like it. So it's our European site.
Huh? Why?
That's what you call DVDs, our pal region in Europe.
Still?
Yeah.
Huh.
NTSC in North America.
What does the N stand for?
No. That's Addie, @Addie, @WeTalkWrestling.
Nacho.
We didn't get to any of your questions this week. I only had one that I thought was worthwhile, so we'll get to you some in the future. You do love nachos, and I love tacos.
Yes. That should be the NTSC,
yeah.
Did you say?
Yeah, yeah. Salsa.
Salsa.
Cheddar.
And, or chimichangas.
Mm. Oh, yeah,
there
we go.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm fucking hungry now.
See. All right. Well, that's going to do it. So, in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks. You want to go get tacos?